And as a government, we are determined to do everything we can to support them.
Stop kidding us over the kids. It's a U-turn you have to make, surely. In other news...
At least 8 people are dead following an avalanche that tore through the Sierra Nevada. And tonight, search and rescue teams are scouring the mountain wilderness for one remaining body.
That's CBS breaking the news. 8 dead. We'll give you more on that later in the show. Children face a review of right to special needs support. Una Summerson is from the children's charity Contact.
It's a symptom of a SEND system in England that has been failing for a long time. Too often, disabled child has to travel a long way to get to a school that meets their needs.
Plus, and then there were 9, the number of police forces investigating Andrew, Mountbatten, Windsor. Those stories and more after the 7 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, the Prime Minister says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. Sir Keir Starmer wants to amend the law so intimate images shared online without consent are removed quicker. If platforms fail to act, they could be blocked in the UK. On Monday, the Technology Secretary Liz Kendall told Nick Ferrari at breakfast, ministers need to act to keep up with online changes.
We're going to be closing the gap in the legislation so that AI chatbots are covered by protections to stop illegal material being available for everyone and harmful material for children.
The boss of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, has denied that his social media platforms are deliberately designed to be addictive to children. He's given testimony in a landmark trial in California examining how the likes of Facebook and Instagram are built. The Foreign Office says the Chagos Islands deal is crucial to national security following another change of heart by President Trump. The Indian Ocean Territory, which is home to a UK-US airbase, is due to be returned to Mauritius. Donald Trump says the UK should not lose control of it by entering into what he's called a tenuous deal. Just 2 weeks ago, he called the agreement the best Sir Keir Starmer could make. It's estimated home-to-school transport for pupils with special educational needs in England will cost £3.4 billion a year by the end of the decade. The County Council's network says significant reforms needed to address one of the biggest pressures on local budgets. The government says it is investing over £5 billion to resolve 90% of SEND deficits this year. And the 4-time F1 world champion Max Verstappen has called this his least favourite era to race in. Testing continues in Bahrain this week with the first race of the season in Melbourne in March. He's told Global's Up to Speed podcast the new cars this season aren't very fun.
For me to then say, of course, that it's the least enjoyable is not very nice. But I also want to say that I know that when I sit in the car, of course, I will always, always give it my very best. But yeah, it's just not really enjoyable. I mean, it's not pure Formula One. If anything, I could tell you it's probably like Formula E on steroids.
And you can hear the full interview on Global Player. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 10,686 after closing up 130 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime, gym time, romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, 4 minutes after 7 on Thursday, February the 19th. Is this a U-turn you would support? The U-turn over the youth minimum wage. I'll give you all the details and ask where you are on it. As it would appear, while the Prime Minister was sticking to it yesterday, the Chancellor was less than forthright in her support. In other news, we will be speaking to a Chagossian. A group have tried to set up a settlement on the Chagos Islands. This is the deal is in chaos after President Trump says Keir is making, quote, a big mistake. Speaking with LBC last night, former British ambassador to the US, Kim Now, Lord Darroch, says President Trump has struggled now to make up his mind over the rights or wrongs over the Chagos deal.
Donald Trump has been in favour, against. So who's to say next week if Keir Starmer has a positive conversation with him, he's back in favour again? This story can run and run.
In policing stories, well, police story part one, and then there were two police counters in London that will be open 24 hours a day. Towards the end of last year, Commissioner of the Met, Sir Mark Rowley, said...
If a pile of extra money fell into our lap from the Chancellor, there are lots of other things that we'd be spending the money on before putting it back into front counters that have a bigger effect on London. We'd be putting it into fighting knife crime, sexual exploitation.
But where are those two counters? Policing story part two, and then there were nine. Yes, nine different police forces or services investigating Andrew, Mountbatten, Windsor. We'll give you full details. California, the eight skiers who've been found dead following that avalanche. And then back home, here in London...
Albert Bridge, one of London's most historic crossings, could be closed until the end of the year. I'm LBC's Joseph Draper, live from the scene.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
That question again. A U-turn you would support? Effectively, young people's payslips have become a battleground now, because do they or do they not allow a Parliament, a manifesto pledge to go forward? The government says it will stick to the manifesto commitment to equalise the minimum wage by the end of this parliamentary term, despite speculation it would row back on that pledge, which would make it, by my calculation, but don't quote me, the 15th, I repeat, the 15th U-turn. Just to give you the background, here we go. From April, the minimum wage for workers aged between 18 and 20 will increase from £10 to £10.85 an hour. Ultimately, they want to get it to the same level as those who are 21 and above, which is £21.12. Now, while it might seem, and it is literally not quite pennies, but a few quid, a few pounds, employers say it makes a huge difference, particularly if you're in an industry such as retail, hospitality, where typically young people go, and if you're employing a lot of people too, stack your shelves, clean your hotel, work in your coffee shop, it adds up to quite a lot of money, hence the row. The unions, of course, understandably are for it. The bosses say, hold on, it will stop youth employment. And remember, we learnt yesterday, and there was a lot of response from you about that, and I use this word deliberately, tragically, as the mental health of young people continues to deteriorate, and they seek services on a record level. On the other side of the coin, they're unable to get any work. We have the highest youth unemployment rate in the whole of the European Union, across the whole of the European Union. One in eight young people are not in work. Nearly a million are so-called NEETs, not employment, education or training. So it's a sort of vicious circle. Now, the Chancellor, Rachel Rees, twice refused to rule out this U-turn yesterday. Will the government row back on that pledge? It's under pressure to reverse the policy. Those youth unemployment figures have not helped. And here was Rachel Rees speaking yesterday.
I do recognise that there are challenges, particularly around young people leaving school, college and university. The COVID generation of young people who did miss out on so much during those years. And as a government, we are determined to do everything we can to support them.
The question was about minimum wage, wasn't it? Will you delay plans to increase minimum wage for 18 to 20-year-olds to allow employers the better chance to hire more people?
We already have incentives to hire young people with the apprenticeship rate of the minimum wage, but also for no national insurance contributions for the youngest of workers. But we do recognise there are challenges, and that is why we're extending the number of further education college places, extending the number of apprenticeship places to help young people get the skills and the experience that they need to move into work.
You heard journalist Christopher Hope there going for it, nicknamed Chopper. You did your best, but she just wasn't for answering, was she? But later in the day, Sir Keir Starmer appeared to take a tougher approach in an apparent bid to shut down speculation over the 14th or 15th U-turn, whatever it might be. Here he is speaking with my LBC colleague, Bronwyn Weatherby.
We have made commitments in relation to their wages, including the commitment that the living and minimum wage will go up, and that will now happen in April, so that will be really good news for all young people. And of course, and not exclusively for young people, but important to them, inflation has fallen today to 3%. That makes a big difference when it comes to affordability.
Couple of conversations to prompt your reactions. First to Alicia Kearns, whose shadow National Security and Safeguarding Minister and Conservative MP joins me now. Is this a U-turn that they need to perform? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, this is absolutely a U-turn that they need to perform, but it comes too late. Look, I was speaking to some of my local pubs a few weeks ago when I last had a chance to go visit one.
Well, you're lucky to get in. If you're a Labour MP, Alicia, you wouldn't be allowed in, but do go on.
Well, indeed. Look, I have to say, I don't think it's right that we ban people from pubs, but I understand why publicans are doing it. The reality is, I went to speak to my pubs and they said, look, why would I hire a young person when for 80p more, I can hire someone with years of experience? So unfortunately, this U-turn comes too late for all the young people who've been denied opportunities, or worse, have actually already been let go because businesses said we can't take it. And even if they do this U-turn, which obviously it's not clear they will as yet, businesses are still struggling under the jobs tax, and that will continue for hospitality. And I don't know about your Facebook, but mine is full of pubs across the country saying, we're closing, sorry, this is it, we're done for.
Some people are making the link, Alicia Kearns, between this and the emotional health for this age group, which you might be aware in your constituency, but certainly across the country. Unfortunately, a record number of people of this group are turning for help. There is a link, isn't there? Mm-hmm.
There absolutely is. Look, I held a job and careers fair in my community for the first time in January. And the reason I did it is because of how many young people are saying they can't find jobs. I had over 800 people through the door in the hours that we were open, which was extraordinary. And the number of mums and grandmothers who were there with their, shall we say, 18 to 30-year-old grandchildren and sons, they were the ones worried. And they were saying, my son's sat at home. My son is sat at home in his room. He's 24. He should be working. I'm at my wit's end. We had people in tears at my job and careers fair saying how amazed they were that they could find a job locally, that there were opportunities, because they're so worried about this. So the harm has been done, but this wouldn't solve the problems for hospitality. It wouldn't solve the problems for so many businesses. There is more this government needs to do, because their jobs tax has cost jobs and is, as you say, costing people their mental health.
Lastly, briefly, what are the other measures that you and your colleagues with the Conservatives think need to be done?
Well, look, we've been very clear. For example, we want to scrap stamp duty for first-time buyers. We need to get the housing market moving. We need to make sure that we can support young people to have that relationship with the state that they expect, which is that we get out of their way and support them to get on the housing ladder. We help them to get into jobs. And the government needs to really crack down on this. You know, the fact that we've got the highest youth unemployment more than Europe for the first time in history is really, really egregious. Inflation needs to be under control. They need to crack down on things like welfare, which they are failing to do. And ultimately, they need to stand up and have the backbone to stand up to their backbenchers and do the things that this country needs.
Grateful for your time. Thank you, Alicia Kearns, Shadow National Security and Safeguarding Minister, 12 after 7. Listening, Helen Dickinson, who's Chief Executive of the British Retail Consortium. You've done some research into this sort of general area. What have you discovered? Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Well, we do a survey of finance directors and chief financial officers right across the retail industry once every 6 months. And our latest survey shows that employment costs, concerns about employment costs, have become the number one issue, way above all others just over that time, from one in five putting it in their top three 6 months ago to four in five being concerned now.
In 6 months? It's jumped that much?
In 6 months. Good in Lord. 6 months, yeah. Right. So I think what we've seen, what they're saying is nearly half of them are planning to reduce hours and overtime. Over a third are intending to freeze recruitment in the coming months. And I think what we've seen across retail and across hospitality is we saw the job unemployment numbers earlier in the week.
Yep.
A lot of those job losses are within retail and hospitality businesses. Retail employs around 3 million people across the country. Many, many of those are really, really important entry-level jobs, flexible jobs, helping people get into the world of work, learning teamwork, you know, communication, and really learning new skills. And that's why I think you've got to look at sort of employment costs in the round. We had the national insurance increases back in the kicked in April last year. you've talked about just now the changes to the national living wage and the debate about what government may do going forward. And the other big, big one I would add to that equation is the Employment Rights Act. So this is the act is now passed, but the detail of it, the implementation, really has to focus on catching out the unscrupulous bad businesses, those with exploitative contracts, lifting the floor and making sure that responsible businesses are not put off from employing the very people that we're talking about that need the jobs. So retail needs to be an engine of that opportunity. And I think, you know, you take the trajectory of the national living wage, national insurance, and now the risks about getting the implementation wrong on the Employment Rights Act. And I think the consequences are there for all to see, because we're seeing some of them play out, and we just want to make sure that that doesn't get worse.
Grateful for your time, Helen Dickinson, your chief executive of the British Retail Consortium. Nick, you'll be the first caller on that after the news headlines. Also after the news headlines, death on the slopes. 8 skiers die in a Californian avalanche. Nevada County Sheriff Shannon Moon.
The effort remains ongoing, as well as our search for the remaining skier. Extreme weather conditions, I would say, is an understatement. Lots of snow, the avalanche conditions, making it impossible to see.
More on that after the 7:15 LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. The boss of Meta, Mark Zuckerberg, has denied that his social media platforms are deliberately designed to be addictive to children. And the Foreign Office says the Chagos Islands deal is crucial to national security, following another change of heart by President Trump. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the M20 westbound up to Junction 6 at Maidstone at Bluebell Hill, and that's because a car's broken down and one lane is closed. And also severe delays continue on the A2 westbound heading towards the M25 junction. It's because a lorry was on fire earlier and there's still only one lane open, and those delays are back to the tollgate services. So that's almost back to the M2. On the trains, no Mild May line running. This is on London Overground between Wilton Junction and Clapham Junction. Also, there are delays for southern services. This is between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction. Delays of around 15 minutes. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Jubilee line.
LBC.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
At TfL, we're helping make roads safer. We're continuing to roll out lower speed limits because 20 miles per hour roads have already seen 24% fewer collisions causing death or serious injury. We're also improving junctions to help keep you safe and improving visibility for our bus drivers with new wing mirror cameras. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Comparison of collisions data before and after implementation of 20 miles per hour speed limit.
When you switch the family's unlimited plans to Vodafone, you save. So while Nan's learning to voice note,
can you hear this? Is this on?
You're saving. While your daughter's setting a new high score on her favourite game.
Get in!
You're saving. While your son's video calling his crush for 3 hours.
I love you more.
You're saving. Save more when you switch your family's plans to Vodafone with Vodafone Together. Eligible plans from the 30th of October. Credit check and terms apply.
On a windswept walk in Carmarthen, while someone tries to use your card details to hire a speedboat in Cannes, this is the moment you relax, knowing that Barclays Advanced Tech has helped to spot the fraud in under a second, and their expert team are on hand to close it down. So you can get back to being windswept. Oh, just one of the ways we're protecting our customers 24/7. Search Barclays Fraud Protection. Barclays, make money work for you.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 after 7, Nick, coming to you about this as a is this a U-turn you would support? Quick look at some of the front pages, not all. And there's, well, it really is such a varied day. Two newspapers agree on the biggest story, which is the Chagos Islands, and we are going to be speaking with a Chagossian later in the show who's moved to the island. They're sort of trying to set up a colony there, effectively, to try and resist what would seem to be the ludicrous deal the Prime Minister signed off on. Do not give away Chagos, Trump tells Starmer, is the front page of the Daily Telegraph, and it's on the front page of the Times as well. Defence is the front page of the Daily Mail. Britain faces 1936 moment, defence chief warns PM. If that doesn't mean anything, just think of the Second World War. And, of course, we were, as Sir Winston Churchill went on to point out, we were not arming at the same rate we should have been. And then, of course, we were left rather exposed when war was declared. What should I... Let's finish with the eye. Epstein trafficking police in plea for witnesses as Met examines Andrew's bodyguard claims. Just for clarification there, and I'm sorry if I've misled you in any way, when I say nine police forces are investigating issues surrounding the Epstein files, let's be absolutely clear, there are nine forces investigating various parts, issues, aspects of this. You've got to think this will lead to some form of police action at some point. And that leads us to the front page of the LBC app. Andrew suspended regular checks to let young women into Buckingham Palace. This is, of course, the story broken by Andy Hughes on this show a day or two ago. And that is continuing to make waves. And lastly, let's flow into the front pages of some of the websites. And Sky News is, unsurprisingly, and probably quite rightly, going with events in California, and we'll be there in a minute, or in a little bit while later in this hour. Right, Nick in Holland Park. Nick, is this a U-turn you would support? I know I would. Good morning.
Well, in a way, looked at very narrowly, though, the differential between ages in minimum wage is pure age discrimination, no more, no less. And if any other organisation was trying to do something like this, they'd be kicked out of court, except, of course, in this case, the government is the law. Mm-hmm. But there is a simple solution, Nick.
Ah, good. Go ahead.
Remove all minimum wage legislation. It's absolute nonsense that the government is involved in this. The wage set should be purely what a business can afford or want to pay in an irrational marketplace. That is how it would be. And if the government really wanted to help workers of all ages, especially young workers, they'd stop all immigration. The laws of supply and demand do not get suspended just because it's labour and work. In fact, it applies very much in this case. And Nick, when you have an oversupply of workers, you end up with low wages.
Nick, some would say, what the dickens are you talking about? Because we'll just have Scrooge bosses paying people pennies.
No, we wouldn't, because they wouldn't be able to get workers to come and work. It's a free marketplace. Why on earth shouldn't a worker be the one to negotiate with an employer? And if they don't like the wages and they don't like the work, don't take the job.
But
simple.
You're making it sound as if you can just walk into another job. You can't at the moment. As we've covered on this story, Nick, there are particularly young people with extraordinary level of qualifications and degrees and goodness knows what else. They can't get, and I don't mean this in a dismissive way, they can't get a job in a coffee shop. And I don't mean that in a dismissive way, but that's the reality.
I understand that, Nick, but
if you were going to allow that coffee shop to pay even lower rate, but by the way, I'm with you, I don't like government regulation, but I do think this is one area where we do need the government involved. Nick?
Not in the time. By the way, Nick, for what it's worth, if I came to power, I'd repeal all employment legislation. There is absolutely no reason why employment shouldn't be arbitrated between an employee and employer.
All right, so a boss decides to sack a woman because she's got pregnant. What are you going to do then?
I would allow it to happen.
What? Have you not had enough sleep?
No, I've had plenty of sleep, Nick. This is how a rational...
Oh, I'll do it slightly more candidly. Have you gone raving mad? You cannot allow a boss to fire a woman because she's pregnant, Nick.
Most people wouldn't. I wouldn't do that.
Okay, most people, but we have to, unfortunately, it's like when you make laws, most people wouldn't decide to stab someone in the street, but unfortunately some people do, so you have to have laws.
But it's It's not egregious. And those companies now, a company that said we fire people who are pregnant, or we don't offer maternity leave, or
but how many pregnant women are going to be fired before the penny drops that you don't want to work for Nick of Holland Park Incorporated because he likes to fire pregnant women? I mean, some pregnant women will have to be fired before the message gets out.
I wouldn't have a business.
Yeah, but listen, I've thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Genuinely, I have. I absolutely respect your position. I think in this instance you're wrong, but I'm grateful for your input, Nick. Have yourself a safe day. More on this in a moment. 7:24. Let's go to other matters. And now it's the turn of Surrey police have urged people with information to come forward about claims of human trafficking and sexual assault dating as far back as 1994. God, I can't even remember what I was doing in January, let alone 1994, that have appeared in the Epstein files. That takes now the number of forces involved to 9. Jack Royston is chief royal correspondent for Newsweek, the American weekly news magazine, and joins me now. Where does this story go next, you imagine, Jack? Morning to you.
Well, as I think you hinted at earlier, Nick, the police are definitely with this frenzied action, coaching people to expect some kind of concrete response from them. So I think at a bare minimum, it does have to be now a full criminal investigation. In fact, it's almost kind of difficult to believe that it isn't already and that they're simply not telling us that that's what they've done. But the big question is, do they interview Andrew? And I think really now we're at a point where they absolutely have to. And we've got to remember here that part of what's happened is they've, you know, the Metropolitan Police really, really recently in December stood by their original decision back in 2016 that Virginia Jeffrey had not accused Andrew of a crime. They were really clear in that wording and repeated it, that they interviewed her in 2015. She made her allegations about Andrew. They interviewed a couple of other Epstein victims who supported her story. And they made an assessment that she had not alleged a crime against a UK national. And they stood by that assessment as recently as December. But obviously, Gordon Brown, I'm sure you've seen his piece he did for the New Statesman, says that he'd personally been through the files and found all these evidence of flights going through Stansted. So here now, all of a sudden, we have 9 police forces jumping in and investigating. And clearly, this is what should have happened many, many years ago. Because, of course, the Epstein files are all files that the US Department of Justice was sitting on and that the British police could simply have asked for. And so it is extraordinary, but they are... I am now of the view that they will quite probably at some point want to interview Andrew.
Jack, you're the chief royal correspondent at Newsweek. What do you imagine is going on in and around the court of King Charles?
Well, I think there is a huge amount of anxiety alongside the monarchy doing this thing that it always does, which is just continuing with business as usual, because they have the whole of the institution monarchy is driven by the schedule, is driven by the timetable, by the calendar. And so those events still happen. The weekly engagements that have been booked in the diary from weeks and months and months and months, or, you know, many planned out since last year, they continue to happen. And so there is a kind of day to day that can keep them driving forward and keep them pushing on, and Charles in particular is very motivated by that. But of course, looking forward, I mean, this has been going since September, October, and it's not slowing down yet. And as soon as April, we're expecting the King to go over to America to see Donald Trump and help with the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. So it's really extraordinary stuff. And if I was in Charles's position, you know, I've been saying this now for a little bit of time. The only simple way out of this for the monarchy actually is that Andrew is prosecuted. And, you know, if I was Charles, I'd be making a trip to Sandringham, pulling him to one side and just saying, look, I've read these emails. You read the emails. You know, you're going to be asked to enter a plea, and there's only one sensible plea to enter. And actually, if Andrew were to go guilty and avoid a trial, that is the cleanest, most simple way out of this for Charles and the monarchy.
Jack Royston is chief royal correspondent at Newsweek. Thanks for your input, Jack. Thanks for reminding us, of course, about that impending royal trip. I just need to say, you know what's coming. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor denies any wrongdoing. 7:28 is the time. Mark's in Sunderland. Do we U-turn over youth wages, Mark? Where are you on that? Good morning, sir.
I think for me, Nick, we've absolutely got to, because I think it's not just the youth wages element, it's the changes to national insurance thresholds, the re-evaluation of businesses for business rates,
yep,
the employee rights bill that your contributor referred to before. The impact of that is going to be so significant on retailers having to pay additional sick pay, there's even talk in that bill that if someone, you know, was to call in sick and you needed to change someone's shift within 48 hours, you'd have to pay compensation for changing someone's shift at short term.
Do you work in this field, out of interest, Mark? Because you seem
very... I work in retail, yeah. I work in quite a large retailer.
Okay.
But honestly, Nick, the significant impact that these changes the government to make, each of them in isolation, look a really good piece of legislation to help workers. But if you put it all together, they're reducing our ability to employ people.
Why can't kids get jobs, Mark, if you work in this field?
They can't get jobs because we can't afford it, Nick. So everybody's having to do the same thing. We're all having to cut back hours.
But my listeners, even as we're talking, listeners are phoning or texting, and I'm so sorry, and emailing, it's only an extra quid, only a couple of quid. They're making enough profit. Yeah. Why don't they just pay it? Is what they're saying, Mark.
Because if you layer it on all of the other government changes that they've made since they came into office and that they're planning to make, it's not just a couple of quid. It's huge sums of money.
Agree with you. Mark, have a good day. Thanks for your input. Coming up later in the show, are you up for the cup? Well, you could be up until 1 o'clock in the morning. Yes, the idea that during the World Cup, pubs can stay open. Home Office Minister Sarah Jones told LBC...
This is great news for supporters and for pub owners. A real boost for the hospitality sector and even more reason to get behind our national teams.
Cheers! Mine's a treble. More on that after this. 7:30, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, on LBC. Newstime, Dominic Ellis.
The Prime Minister says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. Keir Starmer wants to amend the law so intimate images shared online without consent are removed quicker. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were arrested in January last year while on a motorbike trip around the world. They deny any wrongdoing. And President Trump says the UK is making a big mistake in handing the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. Just 2 weeks ago, he called the deal the best that Sir Keir Starmer could make. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return for the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
I can't help but feel that the carefully crafted mystique around the British royal family is falling away pretty quickly. And what we are left with better resembles the kind of smug, arrogant self-indulgence of people who are cloistered in a world that is largely make-believe.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV, and here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
The Hillary sale ends soon, so get window wise and grab these amazing offers while you still can. Like up to 50% off hundreds of made-to-measure blinds, curtains and shutters. Plus, grab £50 off your electric blind order and conveniently control your blinds for less. And don't forget, with Hillary's, measuring and fitting is always included. So get window wise and book your free in-home appointment today at hillarys.co.uk. But hurry, the Hillary sale ends on the 9th of March. Conditions apply.
Shine Night Walk London is a 10k, half marathon or full marathon supported walk around the city at night on the 19th of September to raise vital money for Cancer Research UK. It's also...
everyone walking with all their colours, twinkling away.
You can actually see how nice London is. And London is different at night time.
Celebration of life, and it gives hope.
Step towards a brighter future at shinewalk.org today to get 30% off your entry. Together, we are beating cancer. T's and C's apply.
Did you know that if you buy your train tickets early, you could get a better price with Southeastern Advance Tickets? Whether you're planning a fun family day out or heading into town for a meeting, the earlier you buy, the cheaper your ticket could be. See our terms and conditions to check if it's the right ticket for you. Buy your advance train tickets now from the Southeastern app or website and pay no booking fees.
Southeastern. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:33, that question again. The U-turn that you would support, the idea of the youth minimum wage. Peter, you'll be the next caller on that. Into the world of business, joined by Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, and turning to the front page of his newspaper. And we're talking about mining, or the mining sector. What's happening there? Christian, good morning.
Good morning, Nick. We are talking about the mining sector because they powered the FTSE 100 to another record high yesterday. London's blue chip index closing up 1.2% means it's had a bit of a rally over the course of 2026. The index up 7.4% already. Not bad going. Yesterday's rally was driven by the London-listed mining giants, a powerhouse component of London's market. Glencore shares up 4.5%, Rio Tinto just under 4%, Fresnillo 4.8%, and others following that pattern. Glencore had results, announced a £2 billion dividend, $2 billion dividend for its shareholders. And a lot of this is being driven by the rush for precious metal, rare earth components for not just electric vehicles, but also AI data centers and renewable energy infrastructure. If we want these pieces of infrastructure that every political leader in every country is talking about representing the future, AI infrastructure, sovereign AI infrastructure, clean energy infrastructure, then we need, among other things, a lot of copper. And it was copper and copper prices, which are climbing, which have helped power the value of these mining giants, which in turn is lifting the London market to those fresh highs.
Let's go to the US. Social media might not be so social. What lies behind that story?
We've talked previously about a number of the lawsuits that are underway in the US. They have been a long time coming. Meta, for example, Mark Zuckerberg's empire, literally in the dock, if you like, yesterday in one of a number of courts, court cases underway, brought by people with tragic stories about the extent to which claimants believe social media and the addictive nature of it, and indeed the algorithmic nature of it, contributing to poor mental health in some cases with tragic outcomes. TikTok and Snapchat were named as defendants in this same case, but have reached settlements before the trial. But yesterday, Mark Zuckerberg was grilled in court about the internal decision-making process at his social media platforms. He conceded that he wasn't very good at doing this sort of thing, by which he meant standing up in public and defending his businesses. It was a pretty spicy interrogation. No great moments of drama, but the allegations were continuously put to Zuckerberg that they deliberately or certainly knew what they were doing when they created these highly addictive social media platforms. And he said, look, we're just providing a service. We're just trying to do the right thing. We're just trying to connect people and give people what they want. Couple of interesting moments in the trial. The judge at one point had to tell people in the courtroom to take off their AI glasses, their smart glasses. If you don't take them off, you will be in contempt of court. But I would make this observation, Nick. As serious as it is that these claims have come to court, and without doubt, we as a society, we're grappling with the impact of addictive social media, I would suggest it is as nothing compared to what will come down the line when people start bringing these cases against the big AI platforms. And I'll leave you with this rather sobering observation that the platforms themselves, OpenAI and Anthropic behind the Claude chatbot, know precisely, they flag the rates of what they call exhibited signs of mental health emergencies, of psychosis, and other darker elements. And ChatGPT, for example, last year registered flagged possible markers of psychosis or mania in roughly 560,000 users in a typical week. Goodness. And that was a year ago. It will have gone up. Similar patterns are emerging across other platforms. People, what they call disassociation, people believing that they are entering into genuine relationships, people having the most extraordinary
sounds like my days of dating.
And I think down the line, Nick, people are going to try and hold some of these platforms to account because these are very, very serious and negative interactions that an increasing number of people are having on those platforms. So, yes, currently we're looking at cases going back years about the addictive nature of Instagram. Fine, very important. But down the line, I can assure you there will be cases thrown at the AI companies as well.
Lastly, to celebrate the T-shirt you've decided to wear today, what can you tell us about vintage fashion? That's doing rather well, I understand.
Well, I can tell you that I probably wouldn't raise much money flogging my T-shirt collection, but I know that you're a keen shopper on Depop, Nick, and people say that this is largely the domain of Gen Z shoppers, but I know it's where you go for all your weekend clothes. Depop is the second-hand clothing app that has shot to huge levels of popularity among you and others, but particularly Gen Z shoppers, and it's being sold to eBay for north of $1 billion. eBay is hoping that this deal will help the online auction platform, which is now 30 years old, reach into a younger demographic across this emerging online landscape. And Depop, of course, as you well know, is the app that allows people to buy and sell what they call pre-loved garments. And that is now being folded into eBay's empire.
You'll always be always loved, I assure you. Christian May, Editor-in-Chief at City AM, joining us. Coming up to 7:40, Peter in Stirling. A U-turn on youth wages, yes or no? What say you, Peter? Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I do actually support the U-turn well enough. If you've got your pen and paper there, I've got a suggestion, though, to make with all of this.
Go on.
So I think a 10-year legal commitment that the absolute maximum gap between each band should be £2, and there should be a minimum gap, I think, of £1.50. So,
sorry, just walk me through that again. £2 gap where? I'm just going to go again.
So... No, they can't be more than, I think it's £2 apart, is basically what I'm saying. So 17 to 18-year-old, the minimum wage can be no more than £2 lower than the 18+.
I see,
the
18, okay.
Right, and then what I was also going
to
suggest...
It's £2.21, it's scheduled to be £2.21, just to give the listeners some background. Yeah, on you go, yep.
I think then next year there should be a generational increase, and so you increase the 17 to 18 to £10.
You're not a boss, though, Peter, are you?
No, but I've got a solution.
We did speak with Mark. We spoke with Mark, who's in retail, and he did make the point. When you put these all together, it doesn't make it very attractive to hire young people.
But I've got a suggestion here.
Oh, sorry, go on. Sorry, sport. Yep.
So 17 to 18 is £10. You put the next band up to £12, and then you put the upper minimum wage up to £14. You then, through an increase in a short-term increase in stamp duty and mansion tax, and a slight decrease in the transferable inheritance allowance for married couples, so put a 10% thing on that, you then introduce a subsidy of between 50 and 75p for independent, so small businesses with less than 100 employees, to hire people who are under 21.
So you take 75 pence off the minimum wage if you're a corner shop and you want to employ a youth. Is that what you're saying?
No, what happens is the government, either through tax breaks, they subsidise 75p, and then for people who are under 18, it's a £1 subsidy, either through tax cuts.
How this will take ages to put all this in, lastly, Peter.
Sorry, yeah.
But I mean, she's incompetent enough as it is. To try and expect the Chancellor to manage this is impossible.
But it would basically, I think one of the things we need to stop doing is we need to stop talking about stamp duty for younger people.
Peter, I wrote some of it down. I must have hadn't written it all down. Let's see what others make of it. Thank you. Have a good one. Sherry, you're going to be the next caller, but we need to go to the US. It's believed 8 skiers have lost their lives after an avalanche in California. Here's Nevada County Sheriff Shannon Moon.
The effort remains ongoing, as well as our search for the remaining skier. Extreme weather conditions, I would say, is an understatement. Lots of snow. Gale force winds, the avalanche conditions, making it impossible to see.
Jerry Edling is editor for KNX News Radio in California, joins us now. Jerry, what's the latest? What are you?
Well, so far, as you mentioned, we have 8 people confirmed dead from the avalanche, which took place on Tuesday morning in the Sierra Nevada mountains. One person is missing, and there were 6 survivors. The survivors are already in a good area. Apparently, most of these people were representing a private boarding school called the Sugar Bowl Academy. It's not clear what their affiliation is. It's not students. Most of the people were between 30 and 55 years of age. The avalanche took place during a storm that is not uncommon in California. You get these, for most of the year, it's dry, but then you get these steamroller-type storms that come in from the Pacific Ocean. And they can be very destructive and very volatile and can literally start it on a moment's notice. That's apparently what happened here. There was a very quick beginning to this whole thing, and the skiers literally didn't have time to escape.
Jerry, if it's that hazardous an area, how common is it that people go there for recreation?
Well, it's a very well-known area. It's near Lake Tahoe, which is a very high-end resort. So you get a lot of very wealthy people, millionaires, billionaires, who are very much the risk taker. And normally you would think, well, this time of year would be the worst. It would be like climbing Mount Everest in the winter. But they do it. Much of it is for just the challenge of trying to survive in that kind of terrain.
And unfortunately, not everyone has survived. Jerry, I'll let you crack on. You're going to be a busy guy. Thank you, Jerry Edling, editor for KNX News Radio in California, 744. Sherry in Chingford. Sherry, want your view. Hello. What do we do about this youth minimum wage? Where do you want to go on it? Morning.
Right. So I just wanted to give a realistic picture of what it's like to be a small business owner and employ young people. I'm a big advocate on helping young people. I believe that if we don't get them into small jobs, small businesses like myself, they can't find themselves. Like, you know, we're stepping stones for their future.
What's the business you run?
So I run a small organic shop in East London. Okay. But I've been in business, I've had small business, I've had coffee shops before, so I've been in small businesses for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that when I first started, I was able to offer young people who didn't want to go down the route of education. Mm-hmm. You know, I could offer them 8 hours, 5 days a week, more if they wanted to work overtime. And now we're in a position, and it's not just me, but I see the small businesses around me. We're in a position where we can only offer 4 hours 3 days a week because of the minimum wage increases. So just because the minimum wage increase has happened doesn't mean that we just automatically give people more money. What we do is we have to juggle it. So what we're being forced to do is say, well, yes, we have to by law give the minimum wage, but we can't give 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, which is what, you know, which is comfortable to, you know, for young people.
Well, let me ask you this, Sherry. As a small business owner, what does the government need to do in this area?
They need to, to be honest with you, they have to support small businesses. We've gone from having, we've gone from being in a situation where we didn't have to pay business rates because we were so small and not so profitable. We're now being asked to pay. I've had to start paying business rates. All the other things that policies that they're trying to implement to us to in terms of like sick pay and holiday pay and all this kind of stuff, we just simply have no money. A small business owner now, in the past, small business owners were reputable people in the community. You know, they were, you know, well off. Now a small business owner is more or less getting the same amount as someone being employed by a big company. It's just not happening.
Sherry, I have enjoyed our conversation. I'm already late to the news. Good luck with the business you run. Do please stay in touch. I hope it could. Do you want to mention your business, by the way, Sherry? I think we might have put the phone on. My apologies. Sorry, I should have gotten too quickly. Sherry, talk again soon. Coming up, well, we've just been talking about social media, haven't we, and Mark Zuckerberg, and that action in the US. Back here in the UK, Technology Secretary Liz Kendall told me earlier this week the government will act tough towards social media firms.
We've got to put the responsibility where it lies, which is on tech companies, but we are responsible as the government to put the guardrails in place.
And we'll hear more about those guardrails after this. It's 7:47 LBC News Time, Dominic Ellis.
Sir Keir Starmer says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. And President Trump says the UK is making a big mistake in handing the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most, patchy rain returning in the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There's only one lane open on the A2 westbound between the Bean Interchange and the M25 junction because a lorry was on fire earlier and there are severe delays almost back to the M2. Also, queues on the M20 westbound to junction 6 at Bluebell Hill, and that's because a car's broken down and one lane remains closed. On the train, Southern are delayed by about 50 minutes northbound between Shepherd's Bush and Watford Junction, and that's because a train broke down earlier. On the Underground, the Metropolitan line can't run to and from Harrow on the Hill to Amersham, Chesham and Watford, and that's because of the engineering works. Also on the Underground, there are minor delays now on the Piccadilly and Jubilee lines.
This is LBC.
The Cupra Drive event is back. On top of existing offers, get £1,000 off across the range, including the dynamic Cupra Formentor, the sporty Cupra Terramar and the daring Cupra Leon. Just order by 31st of March and collect by 30th of June. Follow your impulse. Search Cupra Drive Event. T's and C's and exclusions apply. UK retail customers 18 plus. New vehicles only. Subject to availability. Saving including VAT applied to the on-the-road price.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
A Southern train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself. And your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "all change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Stuck waiting again.
Tell me about it. I've spent all morning trying to get through to my GP.
Oh, I ditched that stress and joined Benenden Health. They've got 24/7 GP helpline. No waiting rooms, no sitting around.
Really? Sounds like a great service, unlike this one.
We're just about to get moving again. Press play on your health with the 24/7 GP helpline and much more. All for less than £16 per person per month. Search Benenden Health. Fee review periodically. T's and C's apply. Qualifying periods apply for some services. UK only. Visit benenden.co.uk.
On your marks. Get set. Go hybrid. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. More oomph than a Friday feeling. And smoother than your last online date. More confidence. More go. In a new hybrid engine. With 0% APR representative over 24 months. The new Toyota Aygo Cross Hybrid. Go on. Visit your local Toyota centre. Price from £21,595. Available on Toyota PCP when financed through Toyota Financial Services by 31st March 2026. Optional final payment indemnities may be required. See website conditions apply.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify Pasta Sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato.
Whoa!
And spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo!
Try Dolmio Intensify. Pasta sauces with serious flavour. Dolmio, yeah.
Okay, done. Move that. And, oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
Forecasting sun with 100% chance of beach. There's still time to get up to £500 off package holidays in EasyJet's Big Orange Sale. Or get flights from £28 one way. EasyJet. Get out there. Selected dates and flights. Limited availability. Holiday sale ends 3rd of March. Min spend and ATL protected. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
It's 8 minutes before eight. Let's come away from our conversation concerning minimum wage and talk about security of online material. Alex Davis-Jones is Minister for Victims and Violence Against Women and Girls and joins me now. Your parliamentary colleague Liz Kendall was telling us earlier this week about securing the guardrails to make it safer, and I think you've got more information on that this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, absolutely. This is about ensuring that when this abuse of anyone happens online, that the platforms are held to account and they take some responsibility for taking action to remove this content that is being monetized and causing so much misery to so many people. So we are giving them 48 hours from the point of it being reported to them to remove this material, and it has to be deleted. And if it isn't, then we will act. We will be fining them 10% of their annual global revenue, or if they fail to comply with the guidance, then we will be blocking them and their services from the United Kingdom, because keeping people safe online is a priority for us. Keeping people safe everywhere is a priority for us, and the platforms have a responsibility and a duty to act.
Minister, we've heard about these fines before, of course, Ofcom having the power to levy 10% fines. How many of those fines of that level have actually been levied to date?
So there's been quite a few fines actually levied to platforms. I don't have the exact 10%. Figure. Yeah, I don't have the exact figure to hand, but quite a few platforms have been fined. We've seen this.
I don't think any have been fined to the level of 10% of their global revenue, have they?
But there have been some quite hugely significant fines. But what we won't fail to do here, Nick, is to ensure that if these fines aren't paid and if the platforms continue to breach the terms under the Online Safety Act, because we're making this law under the Crime and Policing Bill, then we will block their platforms from being able to be used in the United Kingdom.
What you say hugely significant fines, how much money are we talking about?
Millions in some regards to some platforms, whether that be Snapchat, who were fined, other platforms I know have been fined here for failing to comply. It's really, really important that the Online Safety Act is abided by, because these are impacting our citizens here in the United Kingdom. You know, I have met with so many victims, and I know you've had them on the show, who have been subject to the most vile abuse, whether they've been nudified via GROK or they have had images shared of them without their consent. And this causes immense harm and immense suffering. And for far too long, victims have had to constantly report to the platforms directly. And they've also had to do the work themselves by reporting one by one by one and chasing that up. Well, not anymore. We're introducing something called one and done. So you report it once to a platform, and then using something called hash matching, which is something similar to what we use on terrorism content or child sexual abuse content, then all of the platforms have to act and they have to take it down wherever this is happening.
So someone who sees this sort of intimate image online, to whom are they meant to report it? To the police? To a government website? How does it work, Minister?
So I'm glad you've asked me. So there's two elements to this, Nick, because we've created new criminal offences for these images. If they've been made and shared without your consent, then we've created new criminal offences, and you can report this directly to the police. And we would, anticipate, and we would expect the police and the law enforcement to act here with the full force of the law available to them, that with the powers that we've given them, to pursue these offenders relentlessly, and they can feel the full force of the law. But you now, as a victim, can also report this directly to the platform, and if the platform does not act within 48 hours and remove these images, then Ofcom as a regulator will step in and act on your behalf, because the platforms have a responsibility to act.
And this obviously is done through an amendment, I imagine, to the Crime and Policing Bill. Is that amendment now in place? Does it have to be voted through? What's the parliamentary process,
yes,
Minister?
Yes, absolutely. So as you're aware of the parliamentary process, we will be laying this as a government amendment in the Lords to the Crime and Policing Bill, and then it will be voted through. But I also want to pay tribute here, Nick, to the brilliant women who've campaigned on this, because this is a cross-party issue. This isn't party political at all. So we don't see any anticipation with there being a block here in the Commons or the Lords, because Baroness Shaw Charlotte Owen, who is a Conservative peer in the Lords, you've got, she's been fantastic at leading the way here, and I want to pay tribute to her, and the many other campaigners who have been pushing this forward. Professor Claire McGlynn, Glamour Magazine, all of the victims who I have met with who have told me that this is what is needed. They are sick and tired to the back teeth of having to do this themselves, and it's time that the platforms acted.
All right. A couple of other stories to discuss with you as Minister for Victims and Violence Against Women and Girls. You may not be aware of this, but in London, the Metropolitan Police, despite the promise from the Mayor, Sir Sadiq Khan, that there would be police counters open 24 hours, it's going to come down to just two police counters for the whole of London that are open 24 hours a day. One at Charing Cross in central London, one in southeast London called Lewisham. That means that anyone, perhaps a young woman who feels vulnerable, whatever, if they're in the wrong part of London, it will take 50 minutes on the bus to get to an open police station. How concerned are you about that?
Well, look, this is obviously, I wasn't aware of this story, so I'm grateful for you for bringing it to my attention. This is a matter for Sadiq Khan as the Mayor of London. Policing is devolved to him. But what I would say is that this government is investing in the highest levels in policing that have been done in a generation. Mm. You know, for 14 years, our police services were cut under the Tories, under austerity. We're putting more bobbies on the beat. We're introducing new powers for these police officers to ensure that they have
an opportunity. It doesn't help the young woman in North London, of course, though, who needs to spend 50 minutes on the bus to get to Charing Cross.
Well, what we need to do is to ensure that these women have an opportunity to report it in other ways that's more convenient to them, whether that be online, whether that be via the telephone, whether that be in person if they choose to do so. So there has to be more convenient and efficient ways for individuals to report crimes being taken place. And I also want to pay tribute to the Mayor of London just yesterday announcing new powers and more investment in tackling mobile phone theft in the city. You know, all of this is being done thanks to a Labour government investing in policing and ensuring ensuring that we have got safety for women and girls, but for everybody, both on our streets and online.
In another matter, talking about young people, is the government going to do a U-turn on the youth minimum wage pledge?
The government is committed to introducing parity and fairness.
You've been committed to 14 other things, but there have been U-turns, haven't there?
Nick, this is about us listening and ensuring that we get policies right.
No, it's not. It's about you not. I mean, why doesn't the Prime Minister have a new website? itsnotme.gov.uk. He seems to blame everyone else but himself.
This is about ensuring that young people have fairness and parity. This was a commitment to us, and we are still determined to deliver this. This is about ensuring good quality jobs, highly skilled jobs. I was with the Prime Minister just yesterday in my own patch in Pontypridd, yes. So this gives me an opportunity to plug that. About meeting, you know, young people, apprentices who have got, you know, incredible opportunities now, thanks to this Labour government, investing in them and showing them that there is
an alternative way. The one in eight young people is unemployed. We have the highest level of youth unemployment across the whole of Europe.
We have created hundreds of thousands of new jobs since we came into power.
950,000 people are in NEETs, not in education, employment and training.
And we need
to
do something about that.
Are you looking at figures that I haven't seen?
No, but I will tell you that we have created hundreds of thousands of new jobs since we've come into office. But what we need to do is do more, Nick. We're not sitting on our laurels and saying that that's it.
250,000 jobs have gone in the hospitality sector since Labour came to power.
What we need to do is do more, go further, go faster, but create more opportunities for our young people with higher skills, higher opportunities, better growth. Those apprentices that I met yesterday were telling me these are the type of jobs and opportunities that they need, and that is what the Labour government is investing in.
Lastly, children will have their legal right to special needs support reviewed under new stricter criteria when they move to secondary school under plans from the government. Are you supportive of that?
I'm glad you've asked me about this, Nick, because this is something that affects me.
I'm glad you're on the line and we have the opportunity to speak, as ever, Alex.
This is something that affects me personally as a send mum. So
I didn't know that. Right.
Yeah, so I want to speak to all of the parents who will be highly anxious with this leak this morning. This leak helps nobody. What is important is that we ensure that those with lived experience are feeding into the government's consultation directly and that we get this right. And just releasing bits of information isn't helpful to anyone. The Secretary of State for Education, Bridget Phillipson, will be outlining the full package soon and in detail, and it is important that the parents hear it directly from government rather than in leaks and in briefings that aren't particularly accurate.
I hear you, Minister, and obviously this touches you, and I wish your child or your children the best possible education, but there will be a lot of concerned mums and dads reading this morning, Minister. So what would you say to them? Is it true? Will there be this review?
So the government will be reviewing special educational needs. That's not a secret. That's something has been needed to do, because my post bag has been full of parents telling us that the system doesn't work currently. What we need to ensure is that every child has the appropriate and best possible support that they can have, whether that be through their individual education care plan, their personal care plan. It's important that we get this right, and no changes will be happening before 2030 as well. I want to state that on the record here for parents listening. Because we need to get it right. And we need
tougher,
all of the information,
Minister,
to get out there. It's going to be right, Nick. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be right and appropriate.
I do enjoy our conversations, but what does right and appropriate mean? Is it going to be stricter?
It's not one size fits all, Nick, and you will know this. You know, children aren't, and all SEND children aren't the same. So what's right for one child won't be appropriate for another. But what is important is that we hear from those with lived experience, we get their voices at the heart of this. We hear from our own MPs who are representing their constituents across England so that we get the whole policy right. But responding to leaks and just bits of information is wholly irresponsible, quite frankly, and doesn't help anybody.
All right. I'm very grateful for your time. Best wishes to you for your child or your children's education. Thank you. Alex Davis-Jones, Minister of Victims and Violence Against Women and Girls, talking about this new ability to take down abusive images within 48 hours. It's 2 minutes after 8. LBC News headlines.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, tech firms could soon be ordered to take down illegal content within 48 hours or face being blocked in the UK. Keir Starmer wants to amend the law so intimate images shared online without consent are removed quicker. The victims' minister, Alex Davis-Jones, has just told Nick failure to act needs stronger punishment.
We are giving them 48 hours from the point of it being reported to them to remove this material, and it has to be deleted. And if it isn't, then we will act. We will be fining them 10% of their annual global revenue, or if they fail to comply with the government guidance, then we will be blocking them and their services from the United Kingdom, because keeping people safe online is a priority for us.
A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were arrested in January last year while on a motorbike trip around the world. They deny any wrongdoing. The National Crime Agency says it's supporting UK police forces investigating information in the Jeffrey Epstein files. Nine are now assessing claims in connection with the late sex offender. Emails in the documents appear to suggest a number of women were brought in and out of the UK on private flights. President Trump says the UK is making a big mistake in handing the Chagos Islands to Mauritius. Just 2 weeks ago, he called the deal the best that Sir Keir Starmer could make. The Foreign Office says the deal is critical to the security of the UK and its allies. And the four-time F1 world champion Max Verstappen says the new cars for this season have made it his least favourite era to race in. He's preparing for the new campaign after losing out on the title to Lando Norris last year. Speaking to Global's Up to Speed podcast, he said the cars for the new campaign are not pure Formula One.
At the end of the day, when you go into competition, you will always do the best you can with what you have, because it's the same for everyone. Sometimes things can be more enjoyable than others. And for me personally, it's not so enjoyable. But I do know, of course, that when I sit in the car, I will always give it my best. Is it fast enough? I have no idea. You know, we have to wait and see.
You can hear the full interview on Global Player. In the city, the FTSE 100 has just reopened at 10,686 after closing up 130 yesterday. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.15. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Hey Sainsbury's, have you got anything to help my money go further?
Well, if you want to make some big savings, make sure to use Nectar Prices and your Nectar Prices at Sainsbury's. Together they can save you over £450 a year on your food shop.
Bring it on.
Download the Nectar app and tap into great savings. Sainsbury's, good food for all of us. 18 plus Nectar app required. For full terms, see help.sainsburys.co.uk/help/nectar-prices.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, 5 minutes after 8, Thursday, the 19th of February. Coming up in this hour, death on the highway. A driver guilty over death on a faulty smart motorway. We'll give you all the details on that. Also, we're going to be speaking with a Chagossian, as some Chagossians set up a colony on the island before the giveaway by the United Kingdom. Speaking with LBC last night, former British ambassador to the US, Kim, now Lord Darroch, said President Trump has struggled to make his mind up over that deal.
Donald Trump has been in favour, against. So who's to say next week, if Keir Starmer has a positive conversation with him, he'll be back in favour again? This story can run and run.
Another story that can run and run is the children facing a review of the right to special needs support at 11. If you were listening in the previous hour, you'll know that the government minister on the round has a personal interest. She has a child or children. She calls herself a send mum, but special education needs and disabilities, by the way. What exactly does that mean? That's coming up later in the show. Are you up for the cup? The World Cup? Well, you could be up until 1 o'clock in the morning, as pubs will be given that licence. Emma McClarkin is from the British Beer... British Beer... That could have gone badly. British Beer and Pub Association.
There's nothing quite like watching the beautiful game in your local. So the fact that fans can gather for more matches at their local is a win for pubs, jobs and community spirit.
And A Bridge Too Far, part two. No, not Hammersmith this time, rather Albert Bridge. LBC has been asking local residents in Battersea and Chelsea what they make of the bridge possibly being closed for 12 months.
Oh, yeah, it's a nightmare. You should see the traffic. My son lives just in Parkgate Road. I live just over there. To drive there, it's a, like, takes a half an hour.
But anyone who gets in a car, it's disastrous. And there's so much roadworks around here, it's terrible.
What the hell is going on in this city? 7 years for Hammersmith Bridge. It will be more than a year for Albert. Do you know how long it took them to build the Empire State Building in New York? Do you know how long it took? I'll tell you later on the show.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
You won't believe it, by the way. You won't believe how quickly they got the Empire State Building up. But that's for later in the show. Death on the highway. Did you see on any of your television news. In fact, we'll just see if we can get the footage for you, should you wish to see it. The shocking images of this, how this woman lost her life, and a driver being found guilty of causing a fatal collision on a smart motorway, despite signs on the road being broken. How many times have we had conversations about these death trap motorways? Smart motorways? Smart motorways? Dear God, if this is smart, I don't know what dumb would look like. Barry O'Sullivan is 45. He was driving a Ford van on the M4 when he drove into the back of a Nissan Micra that had broken down in the fast lane. Pulvinda Dillon, a grandmother who was a passenger in her daughter's car, died from her injuries as the car effectively immediately burst into flames upon collision. Reading Crown Court heard that an unresolved technical failure on the smart motorway, really, meant that alerts of broken down vehicles were not communicated in the days leading up to the accident. O'Sullivan said he'd been made aware that National Highways, the government-owned company that is responsible for motorways, knew the system had failed and did nothing. They did nothing about it, and hence this tragedy had happened, he'd said earlier this month. Now, the court also heard O'Sullivan had been driving at speeds up to 80 miles an hour before the crash. It believed he was travelling at 77 at the point of impact. Lawyers acting for him argued that he could not have caused Dillon's death because the crash was inevitable as the car was stationary in the fast lane. And the smart motorway, I hate this expression, but I will use it, and the smart motorway was not displaying any warning signs. The footage, you probably don't want to look at it, actually, because it's desperately sad, and it leads to the death of a woman who's merely sitting in a car, so presumably if someone tries to try and get help and get the car moving again. But if you want to, it's on the LBC app or on lbc.co.uk. Tim Shawcross is a writer of the Sunday Times, a motoring expert, and was head of technical policy at the Institute of Advanced Motorists, joins me now. Thanks for coming on, Tim. Your take on so-called smart motorways. Morning to you.
Good morning. The idea in principle was very good. And when they first launched the one on the M42, which must be, 20 years ago now, it worked very well because they threw resources at it. There were people on duty 24 hours a day monitoring every inch of that motorway to make sure that if there was any incident, it was flagged up immediately. The rollout in practice, you know, they've been starved of resources. And, of course, they work fine if all the technology works. But as we've just seen, tragically, when the technology doesn't work, they fail. And there's a human bit in there as well. I mean, for heaven's sake, this fault had been flagged up 5 days before. And somebody had put it in the wrong in-tray or some administrative mistake like that. But surely somebody in one of those offices must have thought, hang on, this is a crucial bit of kit. These cameras that identify a stopped vehicle immediately, they've got to be working. This has got to be an urgent repair. Somebody the next day should have been saying, why hasn't this been fixed yet?
So what's gone wrong from paper to practice? Something's fallen through. What do you suppose it is, Tim?
An over-reliance on technology, an assumption that the technology will always work, and and ignoring the fact that in all the technology, there is a human process for something as simple as reporting the fault and getting it to the right team to do the right fix at the right time.
Lastly, I assume you're a motoring expert. You probably love motoring as I do. I don't do a lot of driving. You probably do quite a lot. Tim, I don't know about you, but if I'm on a motorway and I see that it's gone, effectively I've lost the hard shoulder, I'm instantly nervous. I don't know why. I haven't broken down for years, fortunately. Where's some wood? Long may it continue. But do you share that feeling, Tim?
Yeah, but let's get the system in perspective. There are hundreds of miles of dual carriageway roads in this country with 70-mile-an-hour speed limits. There's the A303 down to the West Country. There's the A40...
Out to West London.
There's the A40 out of West London. We all have to take care. You cannot rely on technology. You have to drive and pay attention to what you're doing. And no, I don't feel particularly vulnerable on smart motorways. Touch wood, I've never broken down on one. I think if I did, I would feel very nervous.
Tim Shawcross is a writer for the Sunday Times, independent motoring expert, and was head of technical policy at the Institute of Advanced Motors. Thanks for your time. 12 after 8. Listen to that, Mike Rawson, who's a retired Metropolitan Police traffic sergeant and campaigns against smart motorways. And I've just asked one of my colleagues, and you'll be aware of this figure already, it's believed now possibly 80 people have died on these smart motorways. What needs to be done? Mike, morning.
Good morning, Nick. What needs to be done is to begin a programme of restoration of hard shoulders. National Highways have admitted, Nick, you are three times more likely to be killed or seriously injured on a smart motorway. And I agree with you, the word smart is so wrong, isn't it?
It's absolutely wrong. The trouble is that there's probably not enough land, is there, alongside all our motorways to put those hard shoulders back, Mike?
Yes, I think most of the motorways are in the rural areas, Nick, and it's perfectly possible. And just to reinstate the hard shoulder between the bridges, there's a section of the M25 in the northwest of London where it's four lanes and a hard shoulder. And so it can be done. It's just that there is no willingness to do it because national highways have never, over the 20 years that these have been in place, they've never been prosecuted by anybody or any organisation. Sadly, I would have thought some of the big motoring organisations could have actually gone for a judicial review or maybe to challenge or assist the family of someone killed, because until the government are held responsible, they're not going to bother. They're quite happy to spend $80 billion on a high-speed train, of course. That's not a problem. But we don't want to spend the money making our motorways safe for users.
Lastly, as a former traffic sergeant with the Met, are driving standards improving, declining, or staying about the same when you're out on patrol?
Awful. Going, why? Because there is no enforcement. There are very, very few roads policing officers out there. The tailgating is terrible now, from my experience. I'm fed up with it. You try to drive within the 30-mile-an-hour limit, and you've got people 4 or 5 feet from your tail. Well, I'm sorry, driving is a responsible matter, and there's so many people today who sadly are lacking in any form of common sense, really. Nick?
Thanks, Mike. Mike Rawson is a campaigner against smart motorways and is a retired Met police traffic sergeant. If you've been on any of those smart motorways, we've just looked it up, as I said, allowing for this death, this poor grandmother. It's probably 80 deaths now since they were introduced. 80. And I know there's a review. I know they've paused. There's not going to be any new ones. But are you, like me, nervous when you see you suddenly lost the hard shoulder? And this woman, I remind you, was in what's called the fast lane or the outside lane. She was there for 6 minutes. If you're so minded, you can see it on video. And we'll pick up on your views on that conversation. Plus, later in the show, children will face a review of right to special needs support, something I explored with the Labour Minister on the round, Alex Davis-Jones.
But what is important is that we hear from those with lived experience, we get their voices at the heart of this, so that we get the whole policy right. But responding to leaks and just bits of information is wholly irresponsible, quite frankly.
It is what the media does, though. 8:15, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has told Nick that a planned major shake-up of special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. And tech firms could soon be ordered to take down illegal content within 48 hours or face being blocked in the UK. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most, patchy rain returning to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. There are delays on the A2 westbound to the Bean interchange. Just after that, a lorry was on fire earlier and there's still only one lane open. These delays go all the way back to the M2. Also delays on the M1 southbound to junction 14 at Milton Keynes. That's where a car has broken down. Albert Bridge remains closed both ways, so as a result, it is very busy in the area. Also delays continue on the DLR between Bank and Lewisham and also up to Woolwich Arsenal. That was after a train broke down earlier. Minor delays now on the Elizabeth line from Paddington to Reading and also up to Heathrow Airport. It's because of a track problem. And on the underground, there are minor delays on the Piccadilly line.
This is LBC.
Psst. Hey, dogs. Yeah, I'm talking to you. If you're tired of dry, tasteless kibble or slop that plops out of a tin, you're going to want to hear this. Butternut Box makes only the freshest dog food with juicy meat and tender veg. It's the kind of food that makes dogs tongue out, running around the kitchen happy. Let's hope your human heard this too. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
A Southern Train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories, and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes, with kids' tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Idle pocket money sits in a piggy bank, rolling its eyes and twiddling its thumbs. Bored stiff. But if you open a free Mumzo kids account, your child's pocket money is always busy. It earns interest in a savings pot and teaches them how to save for a future where they don't need to ask you for cash. Mumzo, the bank that gets your money moving. For children aged 6 to 15, parent or guardian account needed first. UK residents only. T's and C's apply.
Things are really heating up in the country's smallest house.
Dad!
Squealed Mia Mouse.
We could save around £100 by setting the boiler flow temperature to 60 degrees.
And turning radiators down in rooms we don't use,
interrupted Mo.
Yes, Mo.
Turn them down, not off, said Mia.
Plus finding and blocking drafts,
said Mo.
Should save enough to increase our allowance.
A little saves a lot. You could save around £100 a year off your energy bills with 3 tips at gov.uk/clean energy.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It's 19 minutes after 8. I will come to your reactions on smart motorways, but I've got the opportunity to speak with a Chagossian who is on the Chagos Islands, and I'm going to take that opportunity now. Just after we take latest reaction in the US. Now, President Trump took to social media to withdraw support for Keir Starmer's deal to hand the island to Mauritius. White House Press Secretary Karen Levitt was asked last night if the Post reflected US State Department policy, and she said...
The Post should be taken as the policy of the Trump administration. It's coming straight from the horse's mouth. When you see it on Truth Social, you know it's directly from President Trump. That's the beauty of this president and his transparency.
Now, it's reported that 4 Chagossians have landed on an atoll on earlier this week to establish a permanent settlement prior to Mauritius trying to take ownership. Labour, though, has served, the government has served an eviction notice. So hopefully I can join the First Minister of the Chagos government in exile, Misli Mandarin, who joins me now. Good to have you on, First Minister. How many of you and your colleagues are there, and what are you seeking to achieve? Morning to you.
Good morning. Us is afternoon, Nick. Okay. Thank you for having me.
Not at all.
We are 4 plus the magnificent Adam Holloway, who helped us to reach where we are now.
What are you crying? What do you hope to achieve, Mr. Mandarin?
The first thing, what we want as a British overseas territory citizen, is stop this ratification, stop that deal, don't give my island away to Mauritius.
Why do you feel so keenly about this?
Because when my dad was deported, he was deported as a British citizen. But now, how come a British territory just hanging over to another country without any consultation to his rightful owners?
How long are you prepared to stay there for? Have you got food and water? How are you living?
The preparation is forever now, Nick. We got fish in the sea, we got breadfruit on land, but we got stock as well. We got noodles, we got rice. We stocked up.
Now, the government have reacted. I understand that a letter has been delivered or a notice. What can you tell us about that, Mr. Mandarin?
So yesterday we had the Bayou Patrol boat who came over.
That's what I feared. Have we still got that connection? Let's try and get... Well, we did well to keep it as long as that, in all honesty. So, unfortunately, I can see him and he can't see... No, it's gone completely. We'll try and get back to Mr. Mandarin. In the meantime, let's come back to our conversation about smart motorways here. And what you're saying, and as we're waiting a sentencing, of course, for that van driver. Elaine says, in days gone by, all vehicles would put their hazard lights on when spotting a dangerous situation. This would warn the vehicles coming along behind to slow down. This rarely happens. This rarely seems to happen now. Do, Elaine, if you can, try and see the video. It's desperately distressing. It really is, because you know, as you're watching it, you're going to see in seconds a collision that took a woman's life. But what is extraordinary, the court was told 14... In that six-minute period, at least 14 vehicles were able to spot it and move into the, I'm going to call it the middle lane or lane 2, whatever you want to call it. It doesn't matter. You know what I'm going to call the middle lane. sadly, they were not all able to do that, and that's why we have the tragedy that we have now. Kimberly in the Wirral, I drive about 80,000 miles a year, and smart motorways are the worst thing ever invented. I watched a wagon plough into the back of a broken-down car as it had stopped on the inside lane due to no hard shoulder. They are a death trap. And Will Evans says, just a message, I do 45 miles down the M4, 45 miles back up the M4 every single day. It's a smart motorway. Terrible name. As a smart motorway that has four lanes, the biggest issue, people don't know how to drive on those lanes. We have people sitting in lane 3 and 4. They introduced the smart motorway to relieve congestion and to be more reactive to incidents. Ah, Kimberly in the Wirral, we've got you. We've got someone on the line. Here we go. The phone's hopefully working in the Wirral. They're not working out to Shagos. Morning, Kimberly.
Morning, Nick.
So how many miles do you do again?
Yeah, between 80 and 100,000.
Wow, what do you do for... Are you on the run?
I am, yeah. Yes, I actually run a courier company.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, so we are the main courier for an oil refinery up north.
Wow.
We're up and down, but yeah, the smart motorways are just the absolute bane of every single driver.
What's life like on the road, Kimberly?
It's absolutely terrible. Like you say, the amount of times that you hear the traffic and it'll say there's long delays because of a broken down vehicle. Mm. So if somebody breaks down in the inside lane, they'll then close the middle lane to kind of keep them safe. So everything's down to one lane just because a vehicle's broken down because there's no hard shoulders, there's nowhere for them to go.
What's some of the things you've seen in the 80,000 miles you do each year? What are some of the sights you've seen as regards bad driving or near misses, Kimberly?
I've said in my text before, I actually watched a car had broken down and a lorry came up. It had nowhere to go and it just ploughed straight into the back of it. It was absolutely terrible, but it was nobody's fault. The car had broken down, he had nowhere to go, and the lorry just couldn't stop in time.
Have you ever broken down?
I have. I had a blowout on the M6. And it was about 2 o'clock in the morning, so luckily it was obviously a little bit quieter, but it was very frightening at the time.
Did you have a hard shoulder you get into?
Nope, absolutely no hard shoulder, so just kind of, you got as far over on sort of the edge of the inside lane as possible.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, and it was just, they just kind of stand out the way and hope that somebody was going to come quickly.
How long were you stranded for?
About an hour.
Oh, in the middle of the night? Or early morning?
Middle of the night, yeah. Oh, yeah, middle of the night. Yeah, absolutely terrifying.
All right, so where have you got to go to today? Where are you driving from or to today then, Kimberly? How many miles today?
From the Wirral down to West Thurrock.
What, in Essex?
Yes.
How many miles is that?
It's about a 500-mile round trip.
How many hours will that take you?
Well, I'm currently, it's literally talking about smart motorways. Somebody's broken down in the inside lane, so it's currently an hour and six delay. So I left at 5 this morning and it's saying 10:45 arriving at the minute.
Oh, you poor woman. And you can't do it any other way. You physically have to be there.
Yeah, this is it. This is what we specialise in, that it's no kind of depots. We're A to B, so we're on the way.
All right, OK. And you listen to me every day, do you, on the road?
Every day.
All right, saved. What time do you reckon you'll get home? You've no idea what time you get home tonight, then.
No, when I set off this morning, it was my ETA was 9:30. It's now 10:45. So
home tonight, 10:45.
Yeah, that's it. The hands of the gods.
Good Lord, safe driving, Kimberly. Thank you. We think we can go back to the Shagos Islands. Let's try again. Mr. Mandarin, I was asking how long you think you can be there, and you've told us that. But I read that there have been notices served on you. Is that correct?
Yes, it was. Yesterday, the patrol ship of Bayer came and handed us a letter of eviction.
What is the... If you don't go, do you know what they're going to do? Do they come and try and grab you? What happens?
So it clearly said on the letter, if I'm staying there, I could be in jail for 3 years and pay a fine of £3,000. But we can't repeat story again. It happened in the 60s and early 70s, but now 2026, right? I don't think that will happen.
What makes you say that, Mr. Mandarin?
Because we are adamant. We are the got a right to be on those islands. This removal it itself is illegal.
What's your message to the British government?
My message to the British government, and especially to Prime Minister Keir Starmer, think again. The US just said by President Trump the deal is no good. We have to stop ratification and we have to stop that treaty and bring British negotiation back on British territory soon as possible.
Lastly, there's a lot of interest or even intrigue as to where President Trump is on this, Mr. Mandarin. Sometimes it seems that he's against the deal. Then he says that it's not a bad deal. What would you like to see the US president come out and say?
So, I already Nick, Keir Starmer is my leader as a prime minister. President Trump has his opinion, which is very important to us. But my main focus now for Keir Starmer to stop that treaty. If the President Trump said no to the deal, it's going to be amazing news for us.
Good to speak to you. I'm glad the line held. Thank you. Ms. Lee Mandarin, the First Minister of the Chagos government in exile, who says he's there for the keeping. Thank you for that. Let's feature, got a minute before we go to the news. I don't think I've done anything like enough of the emails and texts that are coming. We talked about the possible U-turn on youth minimum wage. This is what you said on that. Jim in Bristol. My teenage child would have preferred to have 100% of £8 an hour rather than nothing of the £10.85 plus no experience. I'm sad for the young. They are being failed on this policy. This comes in from Angie. Young people must stay in education instead of pursuing work, hence no pay rise. We must discourage them from working early. Why? Why, Angie? If somebody wants to go out and learn to be a plumber, a hairdresser, an engineer, whatever, why can't they do that? On the subject of the police forces investigating aspects of the Epstein files, Blythe says, isn't it marvellous? 9 police forces have finally cottoned on to the fact they can investigate sex trafficking of women and girls. What a pity they didn't manage to investigate cases over the last 20 years when mums and dads begged them to help their daughters in Bradford, Rotherham, Rochdale. The list goes on and on. Utter hypocrisy. All right, do keep them coming on that. Trevor's in Binfield to talk about death traps, otherwise known as smart motorways. Your view, what is it you've seen? You saw an accident once, is that right? Good morning.
Morning, Nick. Yeah, I was one of the gentlemen that stopped at the scene of that accident smart motorway.
Oh, no, the death of this woman.
Yes. So,
oh, God. Right.
Yeah, we were, myself and another gentleman were the first ones to stop when the car was on fire, so... Yeah, we pulled the daughter out, but unfortunately we couldn't get to the mom.
You actually pulled the daughter out?
Yeah, we got the daughter out of the car.
I don't know quite how... I mean, how much of the car was on fire when you went over to it?
So the rear of the car was on fire. We had one fire extinguisher between us, which kept the fire under control while we pulled the daughter out. We didn't know there was a passenger in the car because the airbags had gone off.
Right.
So we opened the driver's door and saw the daughter was in, and the mom was actually slumped over the daughter's lap.
Right.
So we managed to get the daughter out, but unfortunately we couldn't get the mom out.
How did you get across the motorway? All traffic stopped, did it, when they saw the explosion, when they saw the fire?
So it had just happened when I got to it, and I managed to get around the car and stop in front of the car.
Oh, I see.
The rest of the motorway, we then, you know, started stopping and what have you, because the van that had hit the car was stopped probably about 100 metres up the road.
How far did the car travel on the point of impact? Do you have any idea?
I don't really, because, we was more concentrating on the... Yeah. On the car itself.
It was a Nissan, I believe, wasn't it?
It was a Nissan Micra, yeah.
Was that still in, I'm going to call it the fast lane or lane 3, I don't know.
It was still in the fast lane.
And the van was in the lane 1, 2, 3, where was that?
I think it was probably in lane 2. I can't quite remember. It might have been slightly over into lane 1 as well. But, they were trying to get the gentleman out of the van. He couldn't get out on his own either.
So that's Mr. O'Sullivan, of course, who's been in court.
Yeah, and the weird thing is they took our statements, they took everything down, but we weren't called as witnesses or anything like that.
Well, you weren't. I suppose it's because you were, I don't know, you'd still have a story to tell, I would suggest. He's facing sentencing now. How should the court react to this man?
I don't think he could have done anything different. You know, there was...
You've seen the video,
no
though. You've seen the video, Trevor.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of motorists... I wasn't there, and I wasn't brave enough to run up to a car on fire, but a lot of motorists did manage to avoid it.
It was inevitable that she was going to get hit, though, at some stage, I think.
Mm. Do you do a lot of miles?
I do. I'm on the road every day.
And you say we, was that a colleague or someone else who came to help you?
No, someone else in the van that had actually stopped as well.
Okay.
So, yeah.
You're a brave bloke. What do you think of smart motorways, as they're called, Trevor?
They're stupid. I don't rate them at all.
Did you give it a second thought, running towards a blazing car?
No. No, not on that day. It was a matter of, if there was someone in there still, it was a matter of getting them out.
Well, you probably saved your life.
Look, I hope we did. I'm just sorry that we couldn't get the mom out, but, yeah.
Look after yourself, Trevor. Thank you. Brave bloke. You listen to LBC 8:33. Nick Fry, Breakfast News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has told Nick the planned shake-up of special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. Leaked proposals would reportedly see children's plans reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were arrested in January last year while on a motorbike trip. They deny any wrongdoing. And tech firms could soon be ordered to take down illegal content within 48 hours or face being blocked in the UK. Sir Keir Starmer wants to amend the law so intimate images shared online without consent are removed quicker. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Patchy rain returning to the northwest later. A high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Idle pocket money sits in a piggy bank, rolling its eyes and twiddling its thumbs. Bored stiff. But if you open a free Monzo Kids account, your child's pocket money is always busy. It earns interest in a savings pot and teaches them how to save for a future where they don't need to ask you for cash. Monzo, the bank that gets your money moving. For children aged 6 to 15, parent or guardian account needed first. UK residents only. T's and C's apply.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Cost and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/cleanenergy.
Mummy, please can you tell me a bedtime story?
Once upon a time, there was a very tired mummy who'd been busy all day. And basically, she was too knackered to cook, so she ordered herself sweet and sour chicken, special fried rice and some prawn crackers on Uber Eats instead.
That's not a very good story, Mummy.
Great ending, though.
When you've done enough, Uber Eats and get your favourite restaurants delivered. Check out for terms and restrictions.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's best family electric SUV of the year. And did we mention that the smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Nick Ferrari at Breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
8:36, a little bit behind. Let's try and get back on the clock. Now, we talked earlier about Albert Bridge and the fact that it looks like it might be closed for a year. Just before we go to my colleague Joseph Draper, who's on the bridge, or perhaps either side of the bridge. Probably have to be, actually. Hammersmith Bridge, out in West London, closed for 7 years. 7 years. I remind you, of course, that we managed to start and finish and win a world war in less time than that. We now know that the Albert Bridge will be closed for at least a year. And I asked you, how long do you think it took to build the Empire State Building in New York? That would be a year and a day. 1 year and 1 day to put up the entire Empire State Building. But in this town now, we can't fix a bridge for 7 years, or it would appear another bridge for at least 1 year. And for those of you not familiar with London, both of these bridges are roughly in the same... I mean, London is a big town, a city, actually. These are roughly in the same area, so it's pretty much hell out west. LBC's Joseph Draper joins me, I would imagine, from one side of the bridge. Where are you, Joseph? Morning.
I'm actually on top of the bridge. It's still open to footfall, well done. I can tell you now, Nick, I know why it's nicknamed the Trembling Lady. Every time a jogger comes past me, I get a bit of vertigo. And this is, of course, the latest chapter, I should say, in a pretty troubled history for this bridge. One of the oldest, one of the most historic in London. Just a few years after opening in the Victorian era, Nick. It had to be closed because the iron rods were found to be corroding. And now here we are, concerns once again about its longevity. The historic structure closed completely to traffic last week after a crack was found in a cast iron component. And there were initial hopes it would be reopened by now, certainly within a few weeks. Those have been dashed, though, Nick, with the Royal Borough of Kensington and Chelsea, which runs the bridge, admitting repair works may not be complete now until the end of the year. And as you say, Nick, some concern this could turn into another Hammersmith Bridge, that, of course, being closed for 7 years at a potential cost of millions of pounds to repair it. And, of course, this is causing huge disruption already for the many hundreds of people who rely on this bridge. We can already see the congestion in the surrounding roads. 20,000 cars cross this every day. It's a key connecting artery for cyclists, commuters, cab drivers, parents on the school run. And I've been speaking to some of them.
If it has to be done, it has to be done.
Does it make it a nicer running route for
it
you guys?
It does, yeah. No cars. We can run across naked.
It's a nightmare, obviously. You should see the traffic. My son lives just in Parkgate Road. I live just over there. And, you know, to drive there, it takes a half an hour. I think it is going to be closed for about 12 months, but it has to be, doesn't it? I mean, if it's not safe, what choice have you got?
I read this morning. Yeah, quite shocked.
You're shocked?
Yes. I wasn't thinking it was going to take this long.
I walk across this bridge to go to work when I'm in town, so...
So it's a good thing for you?
It's a good thing. I wish it could stay like this forever. It's a nice bridge to be a pedestrian bridge, and it leads right into the park, and it's perfect to go to work, so...
Do you find it frustrating that the bridge is now going to be closed until the end of the year? Do you think that's going to cause a lot of disruption?
I think so, yeah, because there's many cars passing here throughout the day. We work over there, so it's very busy, to be honest.
Anyone who gets in a car, it's disastrous. So anyone who drives in from, you know, down south, they get caught on these two bridges, and then the traffic goes... listed. And there's so much roadworks around here, it's terrible. So don't close it, but that's probably me being selfish. But
Nick, there we are. A silver lining for the joggers, at least. For experts warning, though, this bridge, if it ever reopens, will need constant attention. HGV drivers already can be fined if they exceed a 3-ton weight limit on this bridge. That's since 2024. The council here saying they've been pumping out water to see if there's any damage to the foundations. They've not found any yet. They acknowledge the frustration this is causing, but say they'll be reopened as soon as possible.
Joseph, just to clarify, Joseph, it wasn't you running naked on the bridge, was it, when we heard that?
No, absolutely not. Right. I don't think our listeners want to see that.
No, I know. London has suffered enough without that. Joseph Draper, LBC's reporter, joining us from the middle of the Albert Bridge. Miranda's in Kensington to talk about this. How does this impact you, Miranda? Good morning.
Good morning. I live on the north side of the bridge, have to cross daily at the moment to do a project, and the traffic is just awful.
It must be appalling, yes.
It is, and there's masses of roadworks that are causing problems, which they don't seem to be removing, particularly on the south side. And my theory is that the troubles are caused a lot by electric cars sitting on the bridge, which are weighing so much more than...
Do you think... Now, it's interesting. You're not the first person to say it, because I've been looking at social media and texts, and a couple of other people have said this is down to the extra weight of an electric car. Do you think that's some of the problem, Miranda?
I do, yes. I think it should really be looked into. And the bridge is stuffed full of electric cars all day, of Uber cars and everything crossing the bridge when you're on.
All I would say is, you know, it's had buses crossing it since, presumably it was, well, not immediately after it built, but it's had buses crossing it for decades, and it's managed to take those. Do you really think it's the electric car? I don't know. I'm not an expert. I've absolutely no idea. But I just wonder what you base that on, Miranda.
Well, there haven't been buses crossing it in the many years I've been crossing it.
Oh, have they not? I'm so sorry. No, I thought buses went. And I apologise.
No,
I'm so sorry.
Nothing heavy is allowed to cross it, and it's got the narrowing gates at it. And so I think that electric cars are a lot to do with it. And, you know, we keep hearing this, and we know that how heavy they are.
Yeah, you're right. Lastly, what are other people saying? What are your neighbours saying about it, Miranda?
Well, it's causing a lot of problems for everybody. And, I mean, as we know, it's half-term at the moment, which means the traffic's a lot less. And I'm really dreading next week when it's going to take a heck of a lot longer to cross the bridge.
Miranda, safe driving. Thank you. It's a long time since I lived in the United States. But can I assure you, that if a bridge in New York City was closed for 7 years, there would be absolute uproar and outrage, and it just would not be allowed to happen. Why is this city so poorly run? Have you seen the amount of roadworks in and around central London? Everywhere. And no one seems to be doing anything. Just half a dozen people in yellow vests, or sometimes orange vests, on their mobile phones, or perhaps one bloke leaning on a shovel. Why are we allowed to get... How are they allowed to get away with it? James is in Barnes. Have you been affected by this, James, out west?
No, I mean, Nick, you just said the words. I mean, Nick, as you just said, the bridge has been shut for 8 years. And you can't blame Sadiq Khan for there's a crack in Albert Bridge.
No, of course you can't blame him for the reaction.
Exactly. But what you can blame him for is the fact that London is one gridlocked city, mostly down to his chaotic changes. And also, TfL are meant to be supervising roadworks across all the boroughs so that because London traffic is organic and it's a free fall, as you said. Mm. There is no there's nobody looking after anything. And you just think to yourself, this is one of the biggest cities, the biggest commercial earning city in the world. And we have gridlock.
I know. I had not been on Park Lane, I realised, for years. Park Lane now in one part, it's one lane for traffic, regular traffic, not taxi. One lane.
One lane, Nick, and one of the lanes is a bus lane. One of the lanes is a cycle lane when there's a cycle lane in the middle of Hyde Park that all the cyclists use. They don't even use that. And that is a fantastic example. Marble Arch to Hyde Park Corner would take you 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was three. Now it takes you 20 minutes.
It does. It's exactly what happened. I had to go out west yesterday. It's exactly what happened in the taxi. James, safe drive. I hate to say it, this town is an absolute scandal. Absolute scandal at the moment. Whoever signed off on bringing Park Lane down to one is quite extraordinary. And now we've got two bridges too far. Thanks, James. Andy, I'm going to talk to you about death traps, a.k.a. smart motorways. And then after the news... It's a whiskey drink. Well, it could be good times if England progress in the World... any of the home nations progress in the World Cup. And pubs have secured an extra time victory. They can say it until one. More on that after this. 8.45, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
LBC has been told planned changes to special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. And tech firms could soon be ordered to take down illegal content within 48 hours or face being blocked in the UK. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Earlier this morning, a lorry was on fire on the A2 westbound just before the M25 junction, and there's still only one lane open, and those delays now almost back onto the M2. Very busy on the M1 southbound, junction 14 at Milton Keynes. That was after a car broke down. It's just been recovered, so all the lanes are now back open. Albert Bridge remains closed for the emergency repair work, so definitely do expect delays. On the trains, there are minor delays on the Elizabeth line to and from Paddington to both Reading and Heathrow Airport. On the Underground, the Metropolitan line's not running today between Harrow-on-the-Hill and Amersham and also up to Chesham and Watford. It's for engineering works. And on the Underground, there are severe delays on the Circle line.
This is LBC.
At Tesco Mobile, club card prices are frozen, so your contract price stays on ice. Get the iPhone 17 with 12 gigs of data and an iPad, all for just £45.99 a month for 36 months with club card prices, saving you £126. And it stays like that for the length of your contract. It pays to be connected. Search Tesco Mobile. Every little helps. Ends 22nd of March. Club card and 36-month credit agreement required. Savings calculated on contract duration. Terms at tescomobile.com/terms.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
This time last year, Hassan was working in sales and spent his evenings gaming. Now, he's working as a prison officer.
You know what's going to happen. Stop working. Let's just go in there.
He's tackled cell fires, got through to some of the most challenging prisoners, and helped support their rehabilitation. He's done things he once thought he was never capable of, but he still loves his gaming. An extraordinary job done by someone like you. Search Prison Jobs now.
Attention dogs, this is not a drill. If your dinner comes in dodgy brown balls or smells suspicious, at best, you deserve to know this. Butternut Box makes fresh dog food with ingredients you'd find in your human's fridge. In fact, some humans have even tasted it. For quality control, obviously. Anyway, let's hope your human was listening. Butternut Box. Fresh food. Happy dogs. Try Butternut Box today and get 25% off your first two boxes. Offer available online in the UK and Ireland to first-time customers only.
You know that guy I've been seeing?
Yeah.
Turns out my sister's been seeing him too.
Oh, really?
And I heard he's been seeing Kelly at number 56. And Dave.
Your brother?
Yep.
Specsavers opticians and audiologists own and run their stores, so your care is their business, which can make them rather popular.
I've got something to tell you. I've got half an hour with him this afternoon.
Specsavers. Your care is our business. Book an appointment today.
Donations to British Heart Foundation fund scientific research that can help save lives. People like Joe, who's pitching his next big business plan. Maria, who's sending out her wedding invitations. And Jack, who's just being a teenager again. Because when you donate, you fund more than just science. You help save lives. British Heart Foundation funds research that aims to cure inherited heart muscle diseases. But our work is not done. Donate now at bhf.org.uk and keep us beating.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Talking about London here, Sadiq. This is Jack Sadiq Khan's London is a national scandal. Crime aside, bridges closed, tunnels charged to cross, hugely increased congestion charge, low traffic neighbourhoods implemented without concern. Joseph says, you're right about the situation in London, but you're in a unique position of doing something about it. Please, please run for mayor. Now, I've seen that movie. And then when I was thinking about it, someone else came in involved, became involved, and I had to drop out. That would be Alexander Boris de Pfeffel Johnson. It's probably a good idea that I dropped out. Lastly, this comes in from Dave. Stop using airtime moaning about sitting in traffic jams. London has the best public transport in the UK. You're fit and healthy and don't carry tools to work. Just get on the bus, train or tube. I don't know about that. I mean, we've talked about Park Lane. What's the other road I was on the other day? Regent Street. Regent Street. Down to one lane with a buses on it. So if you're in a taxi on Regent and the bus stops, You just have to wait. And the pavement, no one's shopping anymore. The pavement is the size of a football field. What's the thinking behind all of that? Let's go back to other roads, smart motorways. Andy, coming to you in just a moment. We were speaking to that very brave man, Trevor, who effectively rescued one of the occupants of that car that broke down. Balvinder has texted in just say, can you please thank him? The family are family friends, and thank him for his bravery. Very brave, him and another fellow running towards a blazing car. I hate... Well, you don't know, do you, until it actually happens. Would I? I don't know. I hope I would. I sincerely hope I never have the necessity to find out. Andy and Morden, talking about these motorways. Good morning.
Yeah, hello. Good morning, Nick. The one thing that nobody seems to mention or acknowledge is that it's a bit of cheap and cheerful upgrade that's been done for our motorways,
yeah,
because it's increased the width of the motorways by 25%,
yeah.
But at the safety of our drivers that are on it.
Do you use the roads a lot?
Yeah, I do. I drive a van. Well, I used to drive a van over Albert Bridge quite a lot as well.
You won't be doing that for a while.
No, I'm surprised about that, because the Kensington and Chelsea must have made a huge amount of money from fines on the other side.
Sorry, help me a little. I'm not particularly familiar with this bridge. Fines on the other side. Why would you be fined on the other side?
Because they've got cameras up fining any overweight vehicle going over.
Oh, have they? Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
How can they... I've obviously never driven over this damn bridge. How do they know you're overweight? Is there a measure? There's a weight, is there?
Well, it's the basic weight of the vehicle to start off with. So my van is 3 metric tonnes, so I wouldn't be able to go over it. My son got a fine when they first went in, but EasyFM is only 2.7 tonnes, which is a bit irritating. But then you get lots of cars that go over there, big cars that will be a lot heavier.
Finally, when you're on in your van and you're on the motorways, how nervous do you get if you come to a stretch that says so-called smart motorway and you look up and you see those signs on the gantries?
Well, you just have to be very, very careful, but it's taken the safety element away from those motorways. I think it's damn stupid.
They say that they're all, well, they have paused all of them pending a review. It would be an enormous exercise, but do they, A, bring back the hard shoulder, or, which is more likely, put in more what they call refuges, so there won't be so far to go for a refuge site?
Yeah, but you can guarantee that if you do break down, you won't be anywhere near a refuge and you get stranded.
No, you're absolutely right. Safe driving to you and to your boy. Thanks for that. We'll come back to more of your views on that in a moment. But fancy a pint? Easy doing music radio, isn't it? You just point, they play the music, and that's it. And you get paid? Extraordinary. Are you up for the cup? Well, of course, with the home nations taking part in the World Cup, there's a chance that you could be up until 1 o'clock in the morning. And here with all the details, LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark. Good morning, Natasha.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, we know that pubs, of course, have been struggling for years. We've been talking about it on your programme and others for months. And early this month, we saw the Chancellor turn around and give them even more support after struggling with new business rates changes. She told me just a few weeks ago they were looking at licensing changes.
Changes as well to licensing rules, including that during the Men's World Cup, pubs will be able to stay open later for home games in the later rounds of the tournament.
And one thing we know will give all of our struggling pubs a big leg up is this summer's World Cup. And of course, it's taking place in America. Great news for football, but not brilliant for our body clocks. Of course, they're several hours behind us. So it's going to make it difficult for many of us to be able to watch the games. And I can reveal today that football fans will be able to enjoy an extra round or two or three to celebrate for every home nation that makes it into anything beyond the group stages, essentially. So licensing laws will be relaxed until 1 a.m. for some of the games and 2 a.m. for some of the even later ones. This is just in England and Wales. Both England and Scotland, of course, already qualified. Northern Ireland and Wales facing their playoffs. Sorry, England and Scotland already qualified. Wales and Northern Ireland already facing their playoff campaigns.
Watson, keep going.
I know, exactly. Yeah, you can tell I don't do this for a living, can you? Football journalism feels much, much more important, but more difficult than political journalism in many ways. But yes, Shabana Mahmood has told us today they are showing red tape the red card. We also spoke with Emma McLaughlin from the BPPA, who's welcomed the move.
There's nothing quite like watching the beautiful game in your local. So the fact that fans can gather for more matches at their local is a win for pubs, jobs and community spirit.
And the Home Office Minister Sarah Jones told us this is great news for the hospitality sector.
This summer promises to be a festival of football across the world, and we want fans of our home nations to be able to enjoy every minute of the knockout stages. This is great news for supporters and for pub owners, a real boost for the hospitality sector, and even more reason to get behind our national teams.
Nick, I'll be there till 2. I'll see you there.
See you there. Thank you. LBC's political editor Natasha Clark reporting. I like the idea of saying it's nothing better than being in a pub. A lot of Labour MPs aren't allowed in their local pub, so I don't think they'll be there until 1 o'clock in the morning. Natasha Clark, thanks for the report. Let's pick up on some of the social media that's coming in on the two stories that we're dealing with. The first one is this idea of the problems that we have with Albert Bridge, and Miranda, a caller, putting forward that it's because of the weight of electric cars. Now, I've shown my utter ignorance, well, with many things, but not least Albert Bridge. I don't know if I've ever driven across Albert Bridge, but I didn't know that it's not open to buses. So is there something about heavier traffic? Anna's weighed in on this by saying that's why there are so many potholes, all the extra weight from electric cars. Again, I don't know. It's possibly something worth looking at. Marie says on this, there should be huge pressure on the government and Sadiq Khan to repair both bridges as soon as possible. It's causing pollution and stress. Rachel says, why isn't there more pressure on the mayor? How can he get away with not doing anything about it? I'm fortunate I live in South East, not West London. If I was over there, I think it would go mad. It must be causing people, literally, you say here, literally, emotional health problems. I think you're probably right. Mind you, others are saying we've got great public transport. Nicola in Tunbridge Wells, down in Kent, hope you've got the water on, Nicola, says, I've been to a lot of capital cities, and it's a delight to come to London. There are problems, but it is clean compared with most capital cities. You get around it well with public transport, and it's a delight to be in. Everyone wants to do it down because it's got a mayor, but I think that's a mayor, and I think that's unfair. Okay. We're also talking about smart motorways. Paul Ledbetter says the car was stopped in the outside lane. The disaster would still have happened on a conventional motorway. The fact it was a smart motorway makes no difference. Well, I think it does to the driver, and it did to his legal team, Mr. Ledbetter, because they argued that had it been displayed on the gantry that there was a broken-down vehicle in that lane, and they put, like, a cross, I think it's red or it might be orange, cross that they put when the lane is closed. I think red or orange, don't quote me. It could have made a hell of a difference, and it could have saved a life, surely. Let's talk about death traps with Ben in Thurrock. You've got a few motorways out in Thurrock, haven't you, Ben? Morning.
We have, yeah. Good morning, Nick. First-time caller.
Oh, good to have you on,
nervous.
Sir.
Nervous. Hello, how
good
you doing?
Man. I'm good. How's Thurrock today?
Again, the car park and 25 bridges at a standstill still. But, I don't have any problems with smart motorways.
Really?
I do thousands of miles a month. I'm a HGV driver.
Are you?
Fuel tanker driver. So, very volatile. Just read the signs around, read the road ahead, yeah, check your car.
But you're a professional.
I do my walk around.
But, yeah, Ben. My sons always used to tell me the best and safest time to drive is early in the morning, late at night, early in the morning, because it's blokes and women out like you, professional drivers, and you can do the length of the country and you probably won't have a problem because you're all pros. Not everyone is, Ben. That's the reality.
I get that, but I also recognise that the level of driving is not really up to scratch. I'm generally thinking about changing my career from a HGV driver to a driving instructor just to put forward my level of experience. I've been a professional driver for 20 years.
Right. Have you always done fuel?
No, I've only done fuel for the last 4 years. I was a bus driver in London, out of London for 12 years.
Yeah.
I've done van driving in West End. I've seen it. I've seen from whatever you throw at me, I've seen it.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Crashes, deaths, you name it, I've seen it on the road. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I haven't seen on the road.
Right.
And just, you drive, I've just driven up the A12 from the M25 all the way to Sudbury, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the A12 doesn't have a hard shoulder.
And this is with
points.
Your lorry, by the way. This is your This is your tanker. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. I'm just doing it. There's no hard shoulder on the A12. Most of it, there is no hard shoulder. So, and it's still a 70 mile an hour road. Like, 50, 60 mile an hour. There's no problems. You know, read the road ahead.
I know, you're right.
When I say don't look in 5 minutes in front, look as far as possible.
Yeah.
Look as far as possible. Read the road ahead.
Yeah.
It's not hard work.
How many years have you been a professional?
I just watched a... Go on.
I want to hear your story. You're more interested
in me. I just watched a female in the in the right-hand lane to me, putting her makeup on whilst in traffic for 30 mile an hour.
Oh, no.
This is the kind of thing. The distractions are... Oh, I'm not allowed my phone. I've got my mobile phone. But my mobile phone has to sit in the door pocket on the passenger side, so there's no distraction to me. It's great. It's great.
How many years have you been... I need to get to the news quickly. How many years have you been a professional driver?
I've been 4 truck driving and 12 bus driving.
Driving standards going up, down, or staying the same?
Down. Very much down.
Why is that, lastly, do you imagine?
Because people are trained in a car to pass a test. There's no hours put into it.
No.
You're trained to... You're taught to pass a test, you know?
Yeah, I know.
When I passed my test 20 years ago... I did a pass plus, which took me out. I paid extra to take me out of the motorway.
Helps with insurance, doesn't it? As well,
yes, yeah. It did.
Lastly, how much gallons or litres of petrol have you got in the back of your lorry?
36,000 litres at the moment.
Oh my God! Safe driving. Can you drop some off at an address in southeast London? I'll tell you off. I'm only kidding. Ben, safe driving. Thank you. We're a little bit late to the news, but after the news, we'll be looking at this review for children of special needs educational support, addressed by Labour MP and Victims Minister, who is the Send Mum herself, Alex Davis-Jones.
What is important is that we hear from those with lived experience, we get their voices at the heart of this, so that we get the whole policy right, but responding to leaks and just bits of information is wholly irresponsible, quite frankly.
And the reality to those stories about violence in the classroom, we'll be hearing from a head teacher who was left needing a wheelchair after she was struck or attacked in her school. Those stories and more follow the 9 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
For
Tom Global's newsroom, LBC has been told a planned shake-up of special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. Leaked proposals would reportedly see children's care plans reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. The Education Secretary is expected to outline the plans next week. Speaking to Nick this morning, Government Minister Alex Davis-Jones says she's deeply frustrated by the leak.
What we need to ensure is that every child has the appropriate and best possible support that they can have, whether that be through their individual education care plan, their personal care plan. It's important that we get this right, and no changes will be happening before 2030 as well. I want to state that on the record here for parents listening, because we need to get it right.
But
and
it
we need
to be tougher,
all of the information
Minister?
To get out there. It's going to be right, Nick.
A British couple have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of espionage in Iran. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were arrested while on a motorbike trip last year. They've always denied any wrongdoing. The Foreign Secretary has called the sentence totally unjustifiable. Sir Keir Starmer says technology firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. He wants to change the law so if companies fail to act, they can be heavily fined or face a UK ban. Officials in California say they've found 8 bodies in the search for a group of skiers who were struck by an avalanche. A 9th person is still missing. Pubs will be allowed to stay open for longer during the World Cup this summer if any of the home nations reach the knockout stage. LBC has been told if that happens, sites will be able to keep their doors open until 2 a.m. And the 4-time F1 world champion Max Verstappen has called this his least favourite era to race in. Testing continues in Bahrain this week with the first race of the season in Melbourne in March. He's told Global's Up to Speed podcast the new cars this season aren't very fun.
For me to then say, of course, that it's the least enjoyable is not very nice. But I also want to say that I know that when I sit in the car, of course, I will always, always give it my very best. But yeah, it's just not really enjoyable. I mean, it's not pure Formula One. If anything, I could tell you it's probably like Formula E on steroids.
And you can hear the full interview on Global Player. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 37 at £10,649. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most, but some patchy rain returning in the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans and pickups with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans and pickups ordered by the 31st of March 2026. UK residents, see toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Morning, Chip, 5 minutes after nine on Thursday, February the 19th. In this hour, sending out the wrong message. Children to face a review of a right to special needs education, SEND, at the age of 11. What exactly does that mean? Plus, the numbers up for yet more police counters in London for the Met. At its peak, there were 140. Now, it'll be down to 2. One in Charing Cross, which, if you don't know London, is right in the heart of London. One in Lewisham, which is out in southeast London. But what about the safety of people, possibly in North London? It takes 50 minutes to get to Charing Cross on a bus from Barnet. Victims Minister Alex Davis-Jones says,
well, what we need to do is to ensure that these women have an opportunity to report it in other ways that's more convenient to them, whether that be online, whether that be via the telephone, whether that be in person if they choose to do so. So there has to be more convenient and efficient ways.
Plus, also in this hour, the harsh reality of those reports into violence in the schools and in the classroom. One teacher who has been a victim.
I now need a wheelchair after being attacked by a pupil with special needs. I'm a former head teacher, Michelle Stone, and I'll be telling Nick my story.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
If you're listening the first hour, you're already aware of this, and I know how charged it is, how emotionally charged the issue of SEND, special educational needs and disabilities, is. But here it is on the front page of one of your papers. Children will have their legal right to special needs support reviewed under new stricter criteria when they move to secondary school. These plans, says the paper, The Times, could lead to another Labour rebellion. Another Labour U-turn, as I said earlier. Keir Starmer's new website, itsnotme.gov.uk. That's exactly what we're looking at now. We blame everyone else. Now, ministers are to announce an overhaul of the SEND system to scale back rigid statutory requirements. Pupils in England, remember D to devolution, they'd have to do it in that fashion, with less complex and serious needs, including many who have had autism and ADHD diagnosed, will no longer be deemed eligible for education, health and care plans. You hear those referred to as EHCPs. The documents which detail children's legal rights to special needs support will be available only to those in the highest of three tiers. Well, if you have a child or you have children, how do you react to that? And I know, because you've told me, how long it can take to get these EHCPs. In the first hour, I spoke with the Labour MP and Victims Minister, Alex Davis-Jones. She was on about matters concerning social media. But I asked her, was she supportive of this?
This is something that affects me personally as a SEND mum. So
I didn't know that, right.
Yeah, so I want to speak to all of the parents who will be highly anxious with this leak this morning. This leak helps nobody. What is important is that we ensure that those with lived experience are feeding into the government's consultation directly and that we get this right. And just releasing bits of information isn't helpful to anyone. The Secretary of State for Education, Bridget Phillipson, will be outlining the full package soon and in detail. And it is important that the parents hear it directly from government rather than in leaks and in briefings that aren't particularly accurate.
I hear you, Minister. And obviously this touches you, and I wish your child or your children the best possible education, but there will be a lot of concerned mums and dads reading this morning, Minister. So what would you say to them? Is it true? Will there be this review?
So the government will be reviewing special educational needs. That's not a secret. That's something has been needed to do, because my post bag has been full of parents telling us that the system doesn't work currently. What we need to ensure is that every child has the appropriate and best possible support that they can have, whether that be through their individual education care plan, their personal care plan. It's important that we get this right, and no changes will be happening before 2030 as well. I want to state that on the record here for parents listening. Because we need to get it right.
But
and we need
tougher,
all of the information,
Minister,
to get out there. It's going to be right, Nick. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be right and appropriate.
I do enjoy our conversations, but what does right and appropriate mean? Is it going to be stricter?
It's not one size fits all, Nick, and you will know this. You know, children aren't, and all SEND children aren't the same. So what's right for one child won't be appropriate for another. But what is important is that we hear from those with lived experience. We get their voices at the heart of this. We hear from our own MPs who are representing their constituents across England so that we get the whole policy right. But responding to leaks and just bits of information is wholly irresponsible, quite frankly, and doesn't help anybody.
Well, obviously respecting her as a SEND mum, I don't think we really got much of an answer there, did we? Now, as ever, in most things in life, follow the money. SEND spending by local authorities has doubled to just under £13 billion in less than a decade. £13 billion. And it's only going one way. But is this the right action to take? Laura McInerney is an education journalist, former teacher and co-founder of Teacher Tap, a daily survey platform for teachers, and joins me now. If there is going to be a review, in which direction should it head? Laura, good morning.
Good morning. So, as mentioned there, we will get the full details next week. But probably the most important bit of this is that for the last around 12 years now, there's only been one way to get this extra support, this thing called an EHCP. Yep. So it's been a kind of binary system. You either had one or you didn't. What's crucial in what we know so far is that there's going to be a tiered support system in future. So it's not so much that if you've got an EHCP and it gets reviewed and you don't have one, you don't have anything like you would have had under the old system. It's instead that they're going to split it, what sounds like three tiers. Obviously, when we get the details, it might be different. Mm-hmm. And so it may be that if an EHCP isn't necessary or needed, because you could have something that is either quicker or could be delivered within the community or delivered through a different funding stream, that's what a child would be moved to again from 2029.
So what will these tiers provide for? How will they work?
So that is what we're waiting for.
Oh, I see. Right. No one knows yet. I get it.
No one knows. I mean, I can give you an idea of what I think it might look like, please. If that would be any help.
Please, yeah.
So if you think about it, the easiest way to do an analogy of this is, I think, with the health service. Over the last 10 years, what we've had is a lot of people who've had to go to hospital. And sometimes that's the right place for you to go. Mm. But sometimes people have had to go there, including myself, because I couldn't get a GP appointment. And actually, if I'd been seen at my GP, it would have been much quicker, easier. I'd have had the right thing. Instead, I've had to go to hospital, sit there for hours, have endless amounts of tests and end up with the same outcome. If we then flip that to education, what we've had in schools is less funding for mainstream schools, and that's meant that pupil ratios have got worse. You know, there's fewer teachers, there's fewer teaching assistants, there's been less access to speech and language community work, there's been less access to educational psychologists. So what you want to do, both in the health service and in education, is get those services back towards the front line so that people can access them more quickly, rather than with EHCPs making everybody wait in this massive long queue. So that they can get the kind of full service hospital approach to things, which may or may not be what they needed.
Why do you suppose we seem to have more children being diagnosed with some form of SEND, Laura?
There's two possible theories. One is that we're better at diagnosis. The other is that there are extra additional challenges within society, which are meaning that people are ending up with more disabilities. Some of that might be really much better medical care. So more children are surviving being born prematurely, or are surviving catastrophic accidents, but they live then with those injuries. It also could be that there are aspects to do with the pandemic, for example, where children weren't able to hit some of their milestones due to lack of socialisation, which is now translating into things like speech and language problems. I'd be amazed if there weren't some consequences of those 2 years. What we've got to try and work out, though, is what we do about that. Kind of doesn't matter which hypothesis you pick, really, as the reason. The truth is we've got more children turning up with complex needs, and as a system, we've got to try and make sure they are able to get to that queue and get what they need very, very soon, but also those who need a bit of support can also get what they need as well.
Lastly, Lauren, briefly if you can, how hard or otherwise is it to get an EHCP? As you said earlier, that seems to be the key.
Right, and any parent you will speak to today will tell you it is an extraordinarily long road, and that's why they're so worried about losing them. I totally understand that. And this idea that they get reviewed even in 3 or 4 years will feel utterly exhausting given the current system.
Laura, we'll end it there. Thank you, Laura McInerney. You're an education journalist. You were a teacher, and you're co-founder of Teacher Tap. We're going to be speaking to another teacher after this, and then, of course, you as SEND parents also coming up after news. And staying with the educational matters, you'll hear from a head teacher left needing a wheelchair after a pupil attacked her in a school. That is the reality, isn't it? The harsh reality of those surveys and research that's done into violence among pupils within our schools. It's 9:15, LBC News Headlines. Dominic Ellis.
LBC has been told planned changes to special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. A couple from East Sussex have been sentenced to 10 years in prison after being found guilty of spying in Iran. And tech firms could soon be ordered to take down illegal content within 48 hours or face being blocked in the UK. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the A2 westbound up towards the M25 junction because a lorry was on fire much earlier on this morning. There's still only one lane open and those queues almost back to the M2. Delays of about 20 minutes on the M25 anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel, and the western stretch of the M25 very busy clockwise to junction 15 at the M4. On the underground, there are severe delays on the Circle line and also minor delays on the District and Piccadilly lines. Also on the trains, Elizabeth line services are suffering with delays from Paddington to Heathrow, and that's because of a track problem that happened earlier. And also the problems continue for Chiltern Railways. There's no service via Amersham.
This is LBC.
Wrong tool for the job? Don't make that mistake with your van. Get up to 30% off selected new Toyota vans and pickups with a warranty up to 10 years or 100,000 miles with every qualifying routine service. Visit your nearest Toyota centre or visit toyota.co.uk/van savings for more details. Savings on selected vans and pickups ordered by the 31st of March 2026. UK residents. See toyota.co.uk for full details. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Radio turns miles into memories. From sing-alongs with the family, road tripping with your friends, or continuing that conversation right into work. In-car entertainment is getting better and better, allowing you to create more memories than ever before. So make sure your next car suits all your radio needs. Your car connects you to the places you want to go. Your radio connects you to each other and the things you love.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Talking about this change that could be for SEND children, special education needs and disabilities in a review. Now, we're going to learn more next week. I think there's a degree of anger within the government that's been a leak, but that's what journalists are put on earth to do. Now, Victoria Symes, you can answer the sort of two questions here. Not only are you a teacher, I understand you're also a SEND mum. Good morning to you, Victoria.
Good morning, Nick.
Can we talk a little first about your little one or little ones? How old is your child or children with SEND?
No problem. Yes, so she's 9 and she has emotional-based school avoidance due to severe levels of anxiety.
Sorry, she's got... What was that diagnosis again? Sorry, Victoria, just one more.
It's emotional-based school avoidance due to high levels of anxiety.
Okay. What age was she when that started to occur?
So really, we started to see it mostly from reception, but kind of just put it down to, you know, nerves being transitioning from what she had as a sort of nursery, then moving into primary. It's a big, big change, often underestimated, but more so they came to light when she moved into year one.
How does the anxiety show itself?
Oh, goodness me, right. So we have... Major meltdowns at home every evening, preparing for school the next morning, severe separation anxiety. We have ASD traits being seen as a result of it. We have ADHD traits being seen as a result of it. Mm. And it's just, it's a daily fight to get my child to school. And I've been told on a number of occasions that because I'm a teacher, I'm too educated, I know too much, I'm seeing things that aren't actually there. And all I need to do is just bring my child to the school gates in whatever state she's in, even if that means she's in her pajamas, bring her, they'll deal with her.
How do you react to that?
I think it's appalling, absolutely appalling. It is not the right approach at all. And schools very, very quickly turn around and say, well, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you tried this? Nobody actually lives a day in the life of any SEND parent's shoes.
If they did, what would they learn?
They would learn very, very quickly that what schools suggest isn't actually appropriate, isn't going to work for any SEND family. And they need to see exactly what is going on behind the closed doors, the struggle, not just for the child themselves, but the struggle for the families too. The pressure and the stress that this is putting on families is enormous.
Do you have an EHCP for your daughter?
I don't. The school won't support one. They haven't supported me through anything in relation to her special educational needs at all. And it's very much a postcode lottery as well in relation to EHCPs. And the waiting time is astronomical. Most parents are obviously taking it on themselves now to try and fund them privately. So they're taking on the funding of it themselves and then having to deal with legal fees on top of it, because more often than not, the EHCP is refused, then they have to appeal it, then it ends up going to tribunal just to try and get it. And now this morning we have this news that they're perhaps going to be reassessed.
Yes.
At a time where stress and worry and anxiety is at an all-time high with them transitioning from primary to secondary anyway. I'm just speechless.
Does your daughter have siblings?
No, I only have one child.
You have one child. Now, you're a teacher in this field as well, are you?
I am, and I've also actually been head of year 7 for a number of years. Not
That's
currently.
The first year of big school, just to remind listeners, yes.
So not currently, but I have significant experience actually working with students, parents transitioning from primary to secondary, and obviously trying to work with primaries to ensure that we have, as the secondary school, the correct information and knowledge on the students joining us. But over the years, that work has actually severely decreased because of lack of resources and lack of funding as well.
Let me ask you, on an average week or an average term, how many days would your daughter not be able to attend school?
At least, on average, I would say 2 days per week.
What does that mean ultimately for her education or chances of her educational attainment?
She is so far behind. There are significant gaps, and I'm saying that even as a teacher myself, I have difficulties actually trying to get her to do work with me from home because there are such negative connotations for her in relation to her learning.
Victoria, what's the toughest thing about being a send mum?
The lack of support, the lack of understanding, the lack of empathy, and not being believed.
What do you hope, lastly, this review, and I say again, we won't know until next week, what do you hope it might bring about? What do you fear it might bring about, your hopes and your fears?
Hopes would be, you know, greater collaboration between parents, schools, and actually, if we're looking at it being a reassessment from primary to secondary, greater collaboration between the primary and the secondary schools as well, particularly with the SEND teams. Mm. More support, better funding, less waiting times, you know, actually being proper avenues that parents can go down and explore. Often parents don't actually know the support that is available because the schools just don't want to tell them, and then parents have to go and spend hours trying to find out what exactly it is that they can do to help and support their child.
Victoria, I've enjoyed our conversation. I must leave it there. Victoria Symes, thank you. You are both a SEND teacher and a SEND mum, a SEND parent, and we'll have more calls on that. Yogesh, you will be the caller. But we're going to stay with teaching matters, having spoken with the teacher, and bring into the conversation. Now, how many times do we speak on this show about reports of violence, not just in secondary schools, but in primary schools as well, and sadly teaching unions reporting that that is on the up? Well, let's bring into that conversation Michelle Stone, who was a head teacher, and she's going to tell you why she now, unfortunately, has to use a wheelchair. Can I call you Michelle? Is that appropriate? Good morning.
Absolutely. Good morning, Nick. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honour.
Not at all. The pleasure. Not at all. The pleasure's all mine. Okay, let's talk a little bit about your teaching career. How long had you been a teacher? How long had you been a head?
I've been a teacher for about a gazillion years. I was very old at the time. I've been a head for a number of years. I think I'd been a head for about 7 or 8 years at the time. A variety of schools, primary schools, as you were sort of saying there, primary schools, secondary schools. I've been a head in and this was a headship in a special needs school, a school for children with autism.
Let's take you back to a young woman. What attracted you to become a teacher?
Helping people. My brother, who is a lot younger than I am, was my first pupil, and the poor boy had to sit through hours and hours of lessons, and I just loved helping him. It was just, and also it's in my blood. My ancestors are teachers, and one was an inspector in Ireland for the Irish.
Education often does sort of flow through the family, doesn't it? Sometimes like medicine in the same fashion. Okay, so you're loving it. You're ahead of a special needs school now. You and I both know we can't identify the school and we can't identify the pupil, but was it, broadly speaking, a happy school? Was it working well?
It was a great school. Staff pulled together, they had each other's backs. They were exceptionally well trained as well. That was one thing that the company did exceptionally well, was train its staff. I know that this sort of training is trickling down into mainstream schools now, but at the time we were ahead of the curve with regards to de-escalation and distraction and an ability to take the heat out of a situation, so to speak.
How many pupils in the school, Michelle?
Not a lot. We were spread over several sites, so about 30 to 40 okay. Children, but not all in the same building at the same time.
What would you say was the level of disruption and or violence within the pupil from the pupils?
It was usually when they were what we would call dysregulated. They were being put in a situation that was uncomfortable for them for whatever reason, and they were being asked to do something that was not akin to what they wanted to do. Unfortunately, this particular pupil was we had identified as being misplaced and not in the correct setting, and we'd asked for them to be moved to a school that could better meet their needs. And I think that listening to some of your other guests this morning, that is quite a key, isn't it?
Yes.
Pupils are being placed in schools that cannot meet their needs for whatever reason. And here we are talking about a special school that still can't meet somebody's needs. Not all schools can meet all needs. And I think that that's really important to note.
So we got the background. Michelle, what happened on the day in question?
So on the day in question, again, we couldn't take the heat out of the situation. It was this poor student wasn't able to regulate their behaviour, and it ended with me being hit across the back with an office chair, and severely impacting my spine. And as the years have gone on, that has become a degenerative condition for me. Ending up in for not every day, but many days in a wheelchair, especially if we have to go out somewhere. And yes, it's that day significantly
yes.
changed my life. I was a single mum. Sorry.
I'm so sorry. How quickly did the situation accelerate? You know, if I use the expression from naught to 60 in zero time or whatever, you obviously were talking to them. Because obviously we're trying not to give any gender away or any form of identification. I understand. So you're talking to them and suddenly it explodes, or what was the timeline?
So what happened was the adrenaline, it keeps you going, doesn't it, for a while? Because you want to make sure that everybody around you,
yep.
adults and children, are all safe. Because that's my job, making sure that everyone else is safe. But a colleague scooped me around the waist and scooped me out of the room. And put me on a chair that just happened to be outside the door. And the adrenaline was running, as I said, and it was a case of, right, okay, we need to make sure that all the paperwork is done. Mm. Anybody in education, any profession will know paperwork is key. So all the paperwork had to be done. And when that was finished, I kind of thought, I don't feel too good. I think I'm going to ask my mum to come and collect me. I don't feel well enough to drive.
Mm.
And as she was driving me home, she said, I think we'll pop into the hospital and just get you checked
yep.
over. And the hospital said, we think you've got some broken ribs, broken collarbone, but of course we don't do anything for that. So they didn't scan me at that point. They sent me home in a sling with some painkillers. And it wasn't until the ribs and the collarbone started to heal that the other pain from my spine started to set in, or I started to be able to recognise it for something different.
Mm.
And one evening then, about 8 or 9 weeks later, I collapsed at home and I was blue lighted into hospital. They thought they were going to have to airlift me to Southampton to have some emergency spinal surgery. Fortunately, RBH were able to stabilise me and do a few over the next few months to do some surgeries that included removing a disc. You know, anybody that's been through spinal surgery will sort of know that right. there's an order that they do things, so that they don't do anything too quickly. They do little things and build it up, so they don't remove anything too important.
So your career's ended, your life has been impacted. If a young person, if you had a child or a niece or a nephew, and they said to you, I think I'll be a teacher, what would you say to them?
Funny, because my middle daughter is talking about becoming a teacher or a social worker, and I think she would be incredible, Nick, absolutely okay. incredible. And I'm recommending social work to her, and it breaks my heart, absolutely breaks my heart, because...
why not education? Why would you rather your daughter went into social work than education, Michelle?
because teachers do not feel safe. And I don't just mean physically safe, Nick. I mean psychologically safe. They do not feel safe at that chalk face. They don't feel that people have got their backs. People higher up do not have their backs. It's a blame culture. And that's why we're having teachers leaving in their droves.
Michelle, look after yourself. I mean that literally. Take care of yourself. Thank you, Michelle Stone, former head teacher, now, of course, no longer in the occupation, needs a wheelchair after that attack. We'll pick up more calls and come back to that send debate. And meanwhile, the comings and goings continue at number 10.
Sir Keir Starmer appoints Antonio Romeo as the head of the UK civil service, but she has a very chequered past and could come back to bite him. I'm RBC's Natasha Clark with the latest.
And presumably if this one goes wrong, he'll blame Reed Employment or someone else. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. Just turned 9:32. Headlines then, Dominic Ellis.
A government minister has told Nick the planned shake-up of special educational needs support in England won't be a one-size-fits-all. Leaked proposals would reportedly see children's plans reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. The Foreign Secretary says the 10-year jail sentences handed to a British couple in Iran are totally unjustifiable. Lindsay and Craig Foreman deny spying charges and have been detained for more than a year. And it's just been announced the Prime Minister has appointed Dame Antonia Romeo as Cabinet Secretary and Head of the Civil Service. She replaces Sir Chris Wormald, who resigned last week in the wake of the Lord Mandelson saga. Dame Antonia will be the first woman to hold the post in the role's 110-year history. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain returning to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
Big motoring world are big on choice. But what does that mean for you? Well, we have thousands of cars in stock. So let's say you want a Mini, an electric one, in black, with a panoramic roof, Apple CarPlay, heated leather seats, rear view camera. Yep, there it is. Being big means we're more likely to have the right car for you. Big Motoring World, we're big on choice. See website for nearest store.
Across the country, thousands of drivers are feeling electric about switching to an EV. And here's why. They can go from London to Sheffield on a single charge that could cost around a fiver. They're ecstatic about that and the exhilarating feeling behind the wheel. Plus, with charging made simple at home, they're always ready for the drive ahead. I can see why they're into it. Switch to an EV and get that electric feeling. Costs and range dependent on tariffs, model and driving habits. For full details, visit gov.uk/clean energy.
I'm Will Buxton.
It's Naomi Schiff.
I'm David Caulfield.
And I'm Jolie Sharp.
And this is Up to Speed,
bringing you fast-paced drama from the world of Formula One.
And the all-important questions
we all want answered.
Up to Speed.
Available every Monday and Thursday on Global Player or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buying a home on a holiday park was the retreat you always wanted. But then came unexpected site fee increases. And that was before the dramatic loss in value. If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, you may have been missold. Holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive thousands in compensation. Text ASSIST to 78900. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming up, another broken political promise, this one about police counters, front desks, whatever you want to call them, in London. And then the comings and goings at number 10, the new person as the top civil servant, as it's called, Cabinet Secretary, more on that. But let's pick up on our conversation. There's a review on the way from the government. They said more reviews than VAR, don't they? Of the right to special needs education for children age 11, as one of my contributors said. As if there's not enough pressure when a child, when he or she is 11 because they're going to big school, we're now going to throw this into the mix. Yogesh in Pinner. Firstly, thank you for hanging on. What's the point you want to make? Good morning.
Good morning. An honour to be able to contribute today. I've got a 29-year-old daughter. We had an EHCP to fought tooth and nail. Eventually, wasn't being met the needs, so I had to take them to tribunal.
Who did you have to fight, Yogesh? Because there'll be people listening to this who are not familiar with this.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a myth that is to do with the school, it's to do with the education authority. Mm. The education authority are responsible, especially the Department of SAN, to provide you with and assess you with the EHCP.
How long did it take you to get one for your daughter?
So initially, we were in a good Berkshire County. It didn't take us so long, but when we moved to London Borough, it all fell to pieces.
Did it? Right. What did the EHC provide for? What did it give your daughter?
Okay, so it's very interesting to say that the EHCP actually stands for the Education, Health and Care Plan, and the health and care is never done. It's always neglected. Mm. So one of the things I made sure was that the health and care was also included in it. There's supposed to be an annual review as part of the CARE Act. So I refer all your listeners to the CARE Act, and not just a review to move from primary to secondary. So I had to insist on a review every year as part of the CARE Act. And at that review, only the school attended. It's supposed to be attended by care professionals, health professionals, and in particular, the educational team from the borough.
Must have been a heck of a shock when you and your family moved into London and you'd had such support in Berkshire and you didn't within London.
Oh, my God. It was like we thought it was a mistake, but we had to move for other reasons.
Oh, I see.
And every year we took the education authority with appeals and finally, we took that to tribunal. Mm. The tribunal took 2 years to be attended.
Oh, my God.
And at the tribunal, there was a barrister from the borough.
Yeah.
And the barrister had only learned about the case the morning before.
Yeah.
And as soon as she came on, she said, I'm really sorry to the to the prosecutors. We give in everything that they want. So then the judge said, gave me an hour to say, are you happy with this? I said, I need to check about what does it mean by give everything in.
Mm.
So we adjourned for an hour. I came back with other things that were not in what was being promised. And then they decided to give everything away. By the time, though, my daughter was 24, and she left the education.
I see.
So,
she wasn't in a mainstream school, your daughter?
No. We had to move her. Initially, it started in the mainstream, but because of the gaps between, she started in the infant school, but by the time she was in junior, we moved her to a special needs school.
So your daughter is where now then?
She's 29, so after 25, education is dropped.
I see.
And she's now just with social care, and she's just going to daycare.
She's not able to work, obviously, then, your daughter?
No, she can't even read or write, because we didn't really have the support.
I see, okay. So to parents listening to this, Yogesh, who might think that their child has sent or is trying to sort out, what would your message be?
I think my message is to have a little read of the educational, the CARE Act.
Mm-hmm.
Get some support from professionals. It can't be done just by yourselves, right?
Yep.
And the CARE Act talks about having professional support that they're supposed to provide, the education authority is supposed to provide. It's really down to the boroughs, so the education authorities, not the schools.
Really enjoyed our conversation. Thanks for hanging on. Best wishes to your daughter and obviously to all the family. Yogesh, and we'll take more calls on that. But let's go to other matters and policing matters. And another broken promise, I'm afraid. London Mayor Sir Sadiq Khan promised that every London borough would have a counter, a front desk, whichever you prefer, operating 24 hours a day. But from early next month, that number will be cut from 140 in its peak. That was in 2013, in fairness, but 140 down to just 2. Yes, that's right. If you live in the following areas, Barking, Chingford, Church Street, Westminster, Harrow, Kensington, Mitcham, Pinner, Kensington and Chelsea at the Royalty Studios, Twickenham and Wimbledon, your front desks are about to close. There'll only be 2 working 24 hours a day. One in Charing Cross, which for those of you who don't know is in central London, and the other will be out in southeast London, in Lewisham. So, if you are a young woman, or a young man for that matter, perhaps some attack in North London, as long as you can be on the bus for 50 minutes, you'll be able to get to a police station. Does that make sense? On the first hour of the show, I spoke with the Minister for Victims and Violence Against Women and Girls, Alex Davis-Jones, and she told me we need to look at alternative ways to help victims such as the one I just illustrated.
This is a matter for Sadiq Khan as the Mayor of London. Policing is devolved to him. But what I would say is that this government is investing in the highest levels in policing that have been done in a generation.
Mm.
You know, for 14 years, our police services were cut under the Tories, under austerity. We're putting more bobbies on the beat. We're introducing new powers for these police officers to ensure that they have
an opportunity. It doesn't help the young woman in North London, of course, though, who needs to spend 50 minutes on the bus to get to Charing Cross.
Well, what we need to do is to ensure that these women have an opportunity to report it in other ways that's more convenient to them, whether that be online, whether that be via the telephone, whether that be in person if they choose to do so. So there has to be more convenient and efficient ways for individuals to report crimes being taken place. And I also want to pay tribute to the Mayor of London just yesterday announcing new powers and more investment in tackling mobile phone theft in the city. You know, all of this is being done thanks to a Labour government investing in policing and ensuring that we have got safety for women and girls, but for everybody, both on our streets and online.
Maybe a bit of a deflection there, but let's bring in Maxine Pooley. Now, Maxine, you were listening to that interview, I understand, and you called in and you're involved in this. Tell the listeners what it is you do. Good morning. May I call you Maxine? Good morning.
Yes, of course. Yeah, good morning, Nick.
Hi, Maxine.
So I'm a volunteer at Pinner Police Station front counter.
Right.
So we have shifts on a Tuesday and a Thursday where members of the public can come in from the local community and we will try and help them as much as we possibly can. And unfortunately, the decision has been made to shut this on the 28th of February.
How long have you been doing it?
Even now. I've been personally doing it for about 3.5, 4 years, but some of my colleagues have been doing it for about 25 years.
What attracted you to doing it, Maxine?
Well, I retired coming up to about 10 years ago now, and I just wanted to do something where I could now give back to the local community.
What sort of things do you deal with?
So I've had personally a situation with an elderly couple who have had a call from someone saying that they were from the Metropolitan Police. They believed that there had been money laundering going on in his bank. They asked him, they were an elderly couple, they were in their 80s, could they go to their local bank and withdraw £3,700? Mm. Whilst they were in the bank, they got the call again from someone saying he was from the police. They read out the serial numbers on these notes and said, yes, there is money laundering going on in the bank. Can you please take those notes home with you and we will come to your address at 3 p.m. Because we need to take those notes back with us. At that time, luckily, they realised they thought they were having, fraud.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah. They were able to come to us. We confirmed that, yes, it would definitely be a scam. Whilst they were actually in the station with us, they got a call from the scammer. And we took the phone from them and we said, you actually are onto the Pinner Police Station. We then also contacted the elderly couple's bank, and we were able to reassure them that all of their money was safe and told them to go to the bank straight away and put the money back in.
They must have been delighted with the work that you did. What will the impact be on the community in Pinner when this goes? Because it's unstoppable now, I'm afraid, Maxine, when this takes place.
I mean, I think it's just a very sorry state of affairs. I mean, yet again, Sadiq Khan has gone back on his manifesto, keeping one counter open in a borough. There will be no counters now in the borough of Harrow. This will be a bigger impact on the vulnerable and the elderly. No thought has been put behind it whatsoever. And, particularly on the Pinner front counter where it is volunteer led. Mm. There is no cost saving whatsoever to the Metropolitan Police. And the building is still being open because the Safe Neighbourhood team are there.
Do police officers ever speak with you or your colleagues and give an indication of how valuable the work is that you do?
Yeah, I mean, the police locally, I believe, are very behind us. And any other police officers I've spoken to, I was at an event recently at New Scotland Yard. And I think people, the officers, anyone you speak to is quite flabbergasted, really, that particularly a volunteer-led front counter could be closed.
I take on board the fact that it's on no expense to the Met, but how busy are you? Is it worth keeping the lights on? Do a lot of people come in, Maxine?
Look, we get... we can have four people a shift in a morning. We could get one person. But personally, the way I look at it, if we're only helping one person or four people a shift, then that's help we are giving. At the end of the day, like I said, at no cost to the Met whatsoever. Electricity is still being on in the building. There are still officers in the building. I really don't feel that is an argument that should be used, particularly in this case. I feel we are a special case.
Maxine, grateful for your input. I'm glad you were listening this morning. Thank you for the work you do for the folk up there. And I'm sorry, I just fear this is utterly irreversible. So that desk will close. Maxine Pooley, thank you, working up at the voluntary desk on the Pinner Police Station. Come to more of your calls concerning send provision in a moment. But to number 10, well, there's been a lot of going, so here's a coming.
Sir Keir Starmer appoints Antonio Romeo as the head of the UK civil service, but she has a very checkered past and could come back to bite him. I'm RBC's Natasha Clarke with the latest.
What is Natasha on about? There's only one way to find out. Stay tuned. It's 9:46. LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Leaked details suggest the government is planning a major redesign of special educational needs support in England. The Foreign Secretary says the 10-year jail sentences handed to a British couple in Iran are totally unjustifiable. And Dame Antonia Romeo has been appointed as the UK's first female cabinet secretary. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Joanne Webb. Severe delays continue on the A2 westbound up towards the M25 junction. It was after that lorry was on fire earlier. There's still only one lane open and those queues still almost back to the M2. On the M25, clockwise, just after junction 5 at the M26, a car's just broken down, so one lane is closed for recovery. And also on the M25, it's very busy anti-clockwise to the Dartford Tunnel. In Park Royal, Victoria Road's been closed at Chase Road, and that's following an accident. On the Underground, there are minor delays on the District Line and also on the Piccadilly Line. And minor delays as well on the Elizabeth Line to and from Paddington after a track problem from earlier.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, James O'Brien.
A very real sense now of a net closing in on Andrew Windsor, who of course denies all wrongdoing. But how far up his family tree could the problems reach?
James O'Brien at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app. Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure. Call Nick Ferrari now, 0345 6060 973. This is LBC.
This is 40-year-old Kathy, mother of two and self-confessed telly addict.
Daddy? Oh, look at you, that's brilliant. Well done.
This is also Kathy, working as part of a team to keep things calm at her local prison. And helping someone's son write his first letter home in 8 months.
Well done, you should be really proud.
Thank you, miss.
An extraordinary job, done by someone like you. Search prison jobs now.
Thinking of buying a new electric car? It can be tough to know where to start. Luckily, the experts have done the work for you. The new Smart Hashtag 5 has just been announced as What Car's Best Family Electric SUV of the Year. And did we mention that the Smart Hashtag 1 and Hashtag 3 are also previous What Car Award winners? Work smart, not hard. Test drive Smart's award-winning EV range at smart.com.
Turn up your taste buds with Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces. From mild creamy garlic and black pepper, to bold smoky garlic and sun-dried tomato, and spicy smoked paprika and chili.
Woo-hoo!
Try Dolmio Intensify pasta sauces with serious flavor. Dolmio, yeah!
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw and you think of a way to spend £1 million.
I'd buy a really nice suit.
It's a lucky day and you win the birthday draw.
I'm rich!
But instead of a suit, you buy a jetpack. And ruin your sister's wedding.
So sorry, I'm late.
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only, no purchase necessary.
Done. Move that. And, oh, new ways to invest.
Okay.
Foolproof guaranteed returns. Invest today.
All right, I think I will.
Way before you seal the deal, check if it's real and if a company's authorised by the FCA.
Oh, thanks.
Search FCA Firm Checker.
Bring your pensions together with PensionBee and take control of your retirement. Because when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. When investing, your capital is at risk.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Coming to you, Gareth, and to Gabby to talk about, I think in both cases, your send children. But let's just go into the realm of politics. Three out, one in. I'm not talking about Arsenal's defence, I'm talking about number 10 and some of the Prime Minister's staff. Natasha Clark, LBC's political editor, is here, and she's already warned us there's a chequered history, I think, or chequered past to the new appointment. Come on, we're all agog.
Nick, I told you I wasn't doing any more football reports for you, so we can't talk about girls anymore. But yes, Sir Keir Starmer has appointed a woman called Dame Antonia Romeo. She's going to be the Cabinet Secretary, so it's basically the top job in Whitehall, the top civil service job. She's the first woman to hold that post in the role's 110-year history.
Positive. We celebrate that.
Absolutely, and she has a very good record in government in terms of the jobs that she's held, right. Permanent Secretary at the Home Office, at the Ministry of Justice as well. However, there's a big however, there always is. Antonia Romeo has faced bullying complaints in the past in her career. Government sources have been telling us all week that she's a fantastic appointment in her current role, and that Keir Starmer has been very impressed with the work that she's been doing. However, like I say, facing multiple bullying complaints, she's also faced questions about her use of expenses when she was the UK's Consul General back in New York. Flights there and back in terms of doing her job. So this woman, obviously, like I say, many people will say, fantastic to see a top woman at the top of the civil service. But when you have had so many senior number 10 staff in the last week or so, you've had the resignation of Morgan McSweeney, the Prime Minister's chief aide. You've had Tim Allen, the head of communications. Yep. He has been sacked, or walked out, rather. And you've also, in the last couple of days, had Sir Chris Wormald, the current Cabinet Secretary, who has also basically been pushed out of the job. He, Nick, was the shortest-serving Cabinet Secretary in UK history, clearly not getting on well with Sir Keir Starmer. So the idea that, obviously, what we've seen with Lord Mandelson, and lots of people saying, don't appoint this person, they could be a problematic for the government. I think there will be lots of people who will be saying, look, we have warned you already that this person may not be suitable for this office, they may face more investigations, they may face more questions. And obviously, she has already faced questions. In fact, last week, Sir Simon MacDonald basically came out on the radio, on the news bulletins, to say, I don't think this person should be appointed to the civil service. So is Keir Starmer about to make a big mistake for this one? I think we'll just have to wait and see.
Lastly, imbalance, I suppose we ought to say, and I'm looking at some copy in front of me, and I think you were telling me this earlier, she has quite a track record. She's been in the Home Office, she's been in International Trade Ministry. I mean, she's got a good career. It's not like he's plucked her out of nowhere.
Absolutely not. She's got a great CV on paper, of course, absolutely meeting the criteria for this very, very prestigious person. So Sir Chris Wormald, when he was appointed, everybody sort of thought, this is not the change candidate that Keir Starmer is going to rip up the civil service. Antonia Romeo may be that candidate, but she does come, like Lord Mandelson, like with some of the other appointments, with a lot of risk too.
Lastly, what does a cabinet secretary do? Many of my listeners will be thinking,
That's a really good question.
Yeah. OK, Natasha, thank you. You've told us about her. You've told her about her past. You've told her about being in there. What does she actually do all day?
Yeah, I mean, look, she is in charge of all of Whitehall. So it's nearly 450,000 civil servants that work in Whitehall, delivering for ministers, basically doing whatever ministers say they're going to do, enacting government policy,
writing
documents.
So she's Humphrey's boss if you go to, Prime Minister.
Exactly, and she's in charge of all of those people, making sure that everybody is doing the right job. But ultimately, she reports to the Prime Minister and essentially delivers whatever vision he wants to do.
LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark, reporting. Gareth is in Lewisham. Gareth, you're going to tell me about your lad. Is he send? Good morning.
Hello, Nick. His name's Stan, and he was diagnosed with cerebral palsy at a young age.
Oh, Lord. Right, OK.
It's only mild, but...
What challenges does that present to you as the dad?
Well, watching my boy grow, he's got a twin brother as well, so from an early age, he was 7 months behind when it comes to walking.
Right.
It's his right side of his body.
Right.
So his right hand he can't use right. He does like a lot of drawling, which ends up making him choke.
Oh, Lord. Right. Okay.
He's had doctor's appointment, hospital appointments. Everything's been confirmed, what he's got.
Right. Okay.
But with my wife trying to appeal and get him ready for school, they're just rejecting everything that,
you think he can... you're happy that he can attend mainstream school, are you, Gareth?
He's been going to nursery, since I was probably about one. And they get a lot of support at the nursery. Or he gets a lot of support at the nursery.
Yes.
They're putting in, ramps for him and, getting rid of the steps and...
But where are you? You're relaxed about him going to a mainstream school. You're not trying to get him into a what's called a special school, then, Gareth?
Well, where we live, we've got about four schools, and my wife's looked at these schools, and there's one school in particular,
yes,
which has got wheelchair access,
right,
all through it, and none of the others have.
Right.
And one of the problems is because he gets tired when he's walking.
Yeah, of course, Paul.
He needs to sit down.
Yeah, of course.
So a wheelchair might be needed in the future.
Yeah. So that's the one you're hoping to get.
Yes.
All right. Well, let us know how you get on, Gareth. If the lad's through, you've got a bit of time. And I'm sorry the local authority aren't being helpful. Stay in touch. And my obviously best wishes to both, to all of your family, both the boys. Gareth, thank you. Gabby in Bushy. Gabby, you're a send parent. Is that right? Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yes, I am.
Well, are we talking about a boy or a girl? What are we talking about?
So my daughter Nelly, she's going to be 5 next week. So okay. She has a genetic syndrome, and as part of that, she has physical and developmental challenges.
Okay. Is she in a mainstream school?
She currently is in a mainstream school. We did fight and successfully gain a place, but for year one, so she will be transitioning in September.
Okay.
So that's quite a lucky outcome for me. But
you say fight. How long was the fight, and who did you have to fight?
Take a guess.
Local authority.
Correct.
I have no idea how long it was, though. How long did that take?
It was about 18 months.
Good Lord.
I mean, to be honest with you, that's quite, quote-unquote, short compared to
really?
Other times. Oh, yeah. And I think, if I may quickly, I know you're running out of time, but I just have a few points that I think could really revolutionise the system. So, I mean, first of all, with these leaks, making support harder to access and weakening legal protections just isn't the answer, because that's essentially what we're trying to do here. And to basically support families, we need to shift funding to early intervention, because that is the key way to get children and young people on the right pathway.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make mainstream schools more inclusive for those children who can cope in a mainstream environment, better equipment, training, staffing, better resources. And ultimately, we need a national standard, because at the moment, it is a postcode lottery, and the local authority are not being held accountable for their mismanagement of budgets.
Do me a favour. Are you around next week to give me a call after we actually see what this report or this inquiry is going to set forth, and we could talk again, Gabby? Would you be around?
I absolutely will.
Talk to my colleague, if you would, and we'll sort of book you in as and when we get more details, because you're obviously, A, you're in a good position, B, you've tackled the local authority, C, you were successful, and you've got a list. So let's talk again next week. Gabby, thank you. Best wishes to your daughter, of course. If you missed the show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinion. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. That's it for today. James O'Brien's The Other Side of the News here on LBC, and I'll be back with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock and speculation is unsurprisingly rife and pretty uniform regarding the arrival just under 2 hours ago of what appear to be 6 unmarked police cars at the King's Norfolk estate, Sandringham, where, of course, his younger brother, Andrew Windsor, is now to where he has been essentially exiled. 6 vehicles, onlookers say 8 people appearing to be plainclothes police officers, and one of whom carrying what seems to be a police-issue laptop. Andrew, of course, Windsor continues to deny all wrongdoing, but this story is growing at a rate of knots, and I wonder where it's going to reach.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, it's reported the government is planning a major redesign of special educational needs support in England. Leaked proposals suggest children's care plans will be reassessed when they move from primary to secondary school. Full details of the reforms are expected next week. Government Minister Alex Davis-Jones has told LBC any changes will create a better system for families.
It's not one size fits all, Nick, and you will know this. You know, children aren't, and all SEND children aren't the same. So what's right for one child won't be appropriate for another. But what is important is that we hear from those with lived experience. We get their voices at the heart of this. We hear from our own MPs who are representing their constituents across England so that we get the whole policy right. But responding to leaks and just bits of information doesn't help anybody.
The Foreign Secretary is promising to relentlessly pursue the case of a British couple jailed in Iran for 10 years. Lindsay and Craig Foreman were on a motorbike trip when they were detained last January. They denied spying charges and their family claims Tehran has no evidence. The Prime Minister has appointed Dame Antonia Romeo as Cabinet Secretary and Head of the Civil Service. She replaces Sir Chris Wormald, who resigned last week in the wake of the Lord Mandelson saga. Dame Antonia is the first woman to hold the post in the role's history. Sir Keir Starmer says tech firms are being put on notice as he promises to take down illegal content within 48 hours. He wants to change the law so if companies fail to act, they can be fined or banned in the UK. And the four-time F1 world champion Max Verstappen says the new cars for this season have made it his least favourite era to race in. He's preparing for the new campaign after losing out on the title to Lando Norris last year. Speaking to Global's Up to Speed podcast, he said the cars for the new campaign are not pure Formula One.
At the end of the day, when you go into competition, you will always do the best you can with what you have because it's the same for everyone. Sometimes things can be more enjoyable than others. And for me personally, it's not so enjoyable. But I do know, of course, that when I sit in the car, I will always give it my best. Is it fast enough? I have no idea. You know, we have to wait and see.
And you can hear the full interview on Global Player. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 49 at 10,637. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, a dry and dull day for most. Some patchy rain will return to the northwest later, a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible, and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 3 minutes after ten. It's an overused phrase, isn't it, these days, breaking news. But in the moments that have passed since I told you six unmarked police cars appeared to have arrived at the King's estate in Norfolk, Sandringham, where his disgraced younger brother, Andrew Windsor, currently resides. In those moments, he has reportedly been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. That, at the moment, is all anybody knows. But it is in the context of events, dear boy, events. It's a cataclysmic moment for the royal family, and because the royal family is so intrinsic to this country, intrinsic to both perceptions of and constitutional and unconstitutional realities of, it's enormous. It's pretty close to unprecedented. In fact, it is unprecedented. The former Prince Andrew, the younger brother of the King, has been arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. This, of course, as a consequence of some of the revelations to recently emerge in the so-called Epstein files. But at first glance, and I don't know how many times this morning, I'm going to have to remind you of two things. The first will be that Andrew Windsor denies all wrongdoing, and the second will be that this is all anybody knows at the moment, even though it's a developing story, breaking news. The only available facts can be contained within a single sentence. But you know that this is not about the girls and young women who feature in the Epstein files, sometimes in very close proximity to Andrew, both in photographs and in reportage, but about the possible or the alleged sharing of information, commercial information, to which he would have had access as a consequence of his curious role as a sort of make-believe trade envoy for the United Kingdom. And here we are. It's a moment of, well, I've never done anything like this before. When breaking news involves the royal family, it is normally, sadly, a death or a funeral, possibly the occasional marriage, but they never take us by surprise. Breaking news about Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, as he calls himself at the moment, being arrested on suspicion of misconduct in public office. And I have to be honest with you, this is live radio, and there's no earthly way that anything else of comparable importance is going to occur in the next hour, and I might just repeat myself until then. Obvious responses include, I bet he's sweating now, as about 30 people have already texted me. And I was going to ask you, and I suspect I still will, but if you didn't have an answer lined up before this event, before this moment, then I suspect you've probably got one lined up now. I was talking to Eleanor before we came on air. I'm obsessed with the Clapham Omnibus. Younger listeners won't know what that involves. The Clapham Omnibus is a sort of byword for public conversation. Will the man on the Clapham Omnibus care? Or will the man on the Clapham Omnibus be talking about this? It's very much of the age in which the phrase was coined, because, of course, most people don't travel by bus these days, and it could just as likely be a woman. But that was the phrase, the man on the Clapham Omnibus. And they're the subjects that I... what's the word that I want? They're the subjects that I both... I simultaneously love and hate the most. The subjects about which we just don't know how deep the public interest is. Until this point, I'd been saying in pre-program conversations, I just have this weird sense that something else has to happen before the gravity of the situation will become clear, will properly crystallize. There is always denial of any wrongdoing. And it still may, of course, turn out that Andrew Windsor has no case to answer on this, the question of why he would pay £12 million to a young woman accusing him of rape when there was absolutely no wrongdoing is a question that, of course, only him and his family could answer. But the idea of not knowing, nobody knows. It's like my old geography teacher, you remember? Don't know, don't need to know, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Nobody can actually measure, even in the days of the internet. I could probably have a word with the online team and they would tell me what is currently gathering most of your interest, what is attracting most of your interest. But that doesn't necessarily translate into conversations. It doesn't necessarily translate into questions I can ask you and you can ring in to answer. But the idea that this is no longer enormous disappeared 8 minutes ago. The idea, the argument, the opinion that this is just another who cares about the royal family, the idea that this is not an existential threat to the actual monarchy, would you go that far? That's probably going to be the phone-in. This is one of those rare moments where you can hear the programme take shape in my brain exactly as the words emerge from my mouth in an even more fresh and entirely unplanned way than normal. But this is the moment, 8 minutes, 9 minutes ago, this morning, on the 66th birthday of Andrew Windsor, the monarchy came under, I would argue, greater pressure than it has at any point since the death in Paris of Diana, Princess of Wales, and the hideously inadequate response of her estranged family. Not to mention, of course, the brutal treatment of her sons, particularly the youngest, compelled